show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 28th day, the final day broadcast-wise of April 2023. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And, well, and where if you do pop in right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. In this case, that means Theo and Squeaky and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, capably assisted by Horn chief mathematician and chief agronomist and bud trimmer emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hi. I'm Robin. It's Friday on the front porch here in about a little less than an hour, or maybe an hour, or maybe a couple of minutes more than an hour, depending on how the filibuster goes. We will go over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather each and every Friday to sort of recap the week and wreak havoc the week and see what's on folks' minds. If you have never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, or only vaguely, or occasionally, or sporadically, well, come on by. We have a great time in there. And I certainly would love to have you join in the discussion. Yes? So, please, do. And in the meantime, well, if you're listening to the podcast, well, like and subscribe, please, on whatever platform you're on, be it Apple Podcasts or Podbean or Stitcher or any of iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, any of those places. Like and subscribe, and help us, and leave a comment. And help us grow the program, because that's the only way I know of, that, or that Brother Deacon knows, Asa knows of, it's actually free, you know, as in doesn't cost anything. Yeah. And over on TuneIn Radio, press that little heart button, and we will eventually get ourselves to 1,000 unique listeners just on that one platform. So it is Friday on the Front Porch. I guess a little bit of an explanation, or well, not really an explanation, but an update is in order. Brother Deacon Asa says, your voice sounds a bit hoarse. Were you screaming at Roy all day? No. Brother Deacon Asa added, tell me Roy showed up. Roy was there. And that means Matt in San Francisco doesn't have to leave the lovely city by the bay and come and seek Roy out. Yeah, all that drama. God, all that drama. And we got up at 5 o'clock this morning, and we put some spackle on our faces and headed across the river, and we were there when they opened, and I think I was the first person in there. Annette went with me. And there, yea verily, there he was, Roy. Yes, Roy. And I'll get to the rest of that in a minute because I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this particular episode is no different. And so, consequently, thank yous go out to our 28th day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means thank you very kindly to Suman. And thank you to Sharon. And thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you to Gary and Gaia. No, that was yesterday. But nonetheless, thank you to Gary and Gaia. Thank you to Micah. Thank you all so very much. And we are no longer we're no longer at zero subscribers on the 27th, thanks to Micah as well. Thanks as well to our pal Jessica up in the greater Rochester, Minnesota metropolitan co-prosperity sphere. I have a note from Jessica, but... Well, just so we know what we're looking at in terms of community-made miracles, we are at $970. So that means today, yesterday, and Wednesday, and $70 of Tuesday remain unfunded. $970. So... Maybe we can knock that down. We have help in knocking that down. If you would like to help with the help, Chris in Germany heard, was catching up with podcasts and said, would you make a $300 Royale challenge for me? Yes. And thank you so much, Chris. Thank you so very much indeed. So there was a... there's $300 on the table waiting to double the next $300 that comes in, and that would get us down to basically $70 of yesterday and today's program in terms of being fully funded for the month of April. So if you'd like to double your money and end the month, this is the perfect time to do it. Thank you, Chris, so very much, because, well, this is the other part of the Royal story. Matt in San Francisco asking, was there smoke, music, a purple curtain, any munchkins involved? No, but I have seen stories, we can be vapid for a moment, I've seen stories that Hugh Grant is playing an Oompa Loompa in the remake of Willy Wonka. Don't really know what to make of that. But I am excited about the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is out on May the 5th. That's worth going to a movie theater for. And the reviews I've seen are pretty consistent in this, in saying that it's just absolutely a blast. So May the 5th, that's Friday. It's Friday week. So maybe weekend after this one, I can coax Annette to go with me to a movie theater and enjoy that cinematic romp. And it'll be the last of the Guardians of the Galaxy films. And I'm kind of meh about superhero movies, but there's something about the Guardians of the Galaxy series that I just love. So no smoke, no music, no purple curtain, Matt. There was some magic. You'll recall that the entire thing revolved around trying to get warranty coverage on my tires, which we did. And by the time that Roy was done working his magic, transferring the warranty from one computer to another and making the button light up so that the warranty stuff could be done, yes, the 65,000-mile rated tires that had only 38,000 miles on them, just, you know, that's a little over, a little less than half of the tread life supposedly remaining. Yeah, that worked out to $37 off of each replacement tire. My life. Yeah. So it worked out to about, with the install fee and everything, $550. Managed to get the power bill paid last night. And that was another five. Yeah. These $500 here and $500 there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. And so we've got, I've got one more looming, terrifying bill. And there's actually two, but this one absolutely has to be dealt with critically. And it's about between $500 and $600. So if we can actually have a community-made miracle, if we can put one of those together, I'll be able to pay that bill, and we will start May with a fighting chance instead of being in a hole. No, somebody, Brother Deacon Asa, somebody does not have a lead foot. I am that darling of the law, the reasonably prudent driver. I obey all speed limits. I don't pass on double lines. I don't ride the brakes. And one of the things that drives me absolutely bananas are people who drive an automatic transmission vehicle with their right foot on the gas and using their left foot for the brake, and don't do that either. No, these were just garbage tires. And the folks at Wally World were perfectly comfortable saying exactly that. And we met a woman in the Walmart waiting area who said, yeah, my tires did exactly that, and they were even newer than yours. But when everything was said and done, Roy did tell me to, like, you know, go out tomorrow morning and get new lug nuts all the way around. Because Walmart doesn't sell them, but to bring them back, and they would happily install them for free. So, well, we had a royale day of it. While they were doing the install, Annette and I walked across the Wally World parking lot. I call it Lake Sam Walton, because whoever did that paving job really doesn't understand how pavement works. And so we dodged various and sundry small lakes and ponds and got all the way over to McDonald's, where I found out, and these are those little moments where you find out what inflation means. Yesterday I said I wasn't even sure their dining room was open. It is. And so we walked in and had breakfast. And I have a sort of a trash panda affection for their biscuits and gravy. Yeah, I know there are places in this country where they don't serve gravy and biscuits at McDonald's. I don't understand those heathens, but I know that that's the case in Falls Church, Virginia, next to the hotel I stayed at when I was in D.C. Regardless, get this. This is a perfect a biscuit, and the biscuits at McDonald's have gotten absolutely ribby. And they split it for you, and they put the gravy on it, and they put the little cover on the little. I mean, it is so unsustainable. But that, a hash brown patty, and a cup of coffee, is $7.39. Wow. But eventually we got done and headed back across Lake Sam Walton, or Sam Walton's swamp, whatever. Looked around in the garden department at plants that it might be fun to stick in the ground here. And then they said the car was ready, and we went back, and I found out that $550, there was a $550 lightening of Robin's purse fee. Ow. Hi, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut. Was Roy a dating prospect for either you or Annette, considering how dolled up you both were? LOL. I checked. There was a ring on his finger, Darlene. Annette did, too. Wasn't our type, really. I don't know. The guys with the wallets, with the chains that attach to the belt loop, kind of, and he was kind of mountain man, beardy, and just not for me. And Annette agreed. No. So the search for love continues, but the search for tires is at least done for now, and it drives so much better. Did you at least get half-decent tars this time? Brother Deacon Asa correctly spelling tars, T-A-R-R-S. I replaced them with the same thing I had before, because that was how the warranty worked. Now, for $150 a skin, they had Michelins there, but they would have had to order. We ain't got them. It was one of those things. We ain't got them, but we can have them for you in 24, 48 hours. You know, if they'd told me that and told me this was going to be a $550 adventure back on Wednesday, I probably would have gotten the Michelins. But here we are. So I got 65,000 fresh miles to drive on. So that is the Royale story. And Roy, for a monarch, he was a surprisingly frank fellow. No, his name was Roy, not Frank. I said, but he was talking about what happened Wednesday, and he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I really do. I hate this for y'all." And he said, "You know, it ain't your fault. Stupid fucking Walmart's fault," he said. And I said, "You don't want to say that around. You don't want to say that. We're in the store." And he said, "I don't give a damn. This is the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen, and I worked here for a while. You have no idea the amount of trouble and aggravation this is brought upon me." And he said upon. So I appreciated his candor. Says Darlene in Connecticut. I guess Connecticut McDonald's are heathen, as I never heard of biscuits and gravy being served. What's going on with that? Maybe we don't have those southern charms enough around here. I'll get to work on that, Darlene. You know, nutmeg staters deserve to have biscuits and gravy in there. Do they? I mean, it is kind of north and New Englandy. Do they even sell biscuits? I mean, they got to sell biscuits at breakfast at McDonald's. I mean, don't they? And then the question arises, okay, sausage and cheese, bacon, egg and cheese. Why go to the trouble of having biscuits if you're not going to make that wonderfully wallpaper pasty sausage gravy? God, I hit it with the little packets say black pepper. I know it's mostly pencil shavings, but I absolutely blasted it with black pepper just to sort of bring it to life.
says, Darlene, that's a skill, checking for a ring without looking like you are. It's a peripheral vision kind of thing while staying engaged in the convo. And it was kind of easier since he was sitting there clacking and working away at the cash register keyboards. And so, glance, oh, yeah. And apparently he opted for white gold with, like, some incised rings within the ring. Maybe it's a religious thing. I don't know. Well, Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, what kind of tires are they? I don't mind you asking. They are Goodyear Reliance. And here's to getting... Well, it would be nice if I could get the whole 65,000 miles out of them, but I'm not holding out a lot of hope for that. I want a reminder, if you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, you can do so without having Skype. All you got to do is go to the button there at the top of headon.live. But for generally reaching the program via Skype, there is, it's not, well, it's 2 weeks old now, but there's a new Skype line for the program. Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And send me if you haven't yet, send me a contact request so maybe we can, well, that way we'll be connected. And if you ever want to call using the Skype line, use that. Or, of course, the stress line, but the Skype line's definitely more reliable. Darlene says, yeah, we do get plain biscuits at Mickey D's. Used to love them back in college, smothered in butter and honey on the inside. Yeah, that's not bad. One of the things I like, and that's holding a grudge against Cracker Barrel now, so I don't get to go to Cracker Barrel anymore. But I like Cracker Barrel because they'll bring you, if you have to ask for it special, like, but they'll bring you apple butter with your biscuits, and a biscuit all buttered up with apple butter on it. Whew! Yes. Those are cheat days. What's that, Lee in New York? My mechanic told me to inflate my tires to 40 PSI. My tires wore faster than expected. My tires are rated 51 PSI. I inflate my tires to 48 PSI. They're lasting longer. Read the tire sidewall. Use that rating when you inflate. Underinflated tires wear out faster. Duh. And Lee says, my tires are Goodyear Assurance. Yeah, that's the weird thing. The sidewall of the tire is like 50 PSI. But the ratings from Ford for that size of tire is 34. And it's a sensor thing. I don't know. I don't know. But it is good to feel safe about what's happening. So that's today in Mount Colby gone. I can't do the bad Garrison Keillor anymore because he's no longer relevant. But got home, exhausted. I'm a little. My internal clock or whatever is off because I'm not accustomed to getting up at 5. So I have a feeling we will be early to sleep this evening. Woo! Friday! Yee, the weekend! Sure. I wanted to mention something that Bernadette sent along. A little something you can do with your time and not much money and have some fun along the way. Bernadette notes that a packet of prepaid postcards from the U.S. Postal Service is 48 cents each, or 480 for a pack of 10. And you can, and if you're listening to the podcast, you can rewind, or because it's on tape, right? But you can address them to SCOTUS, Chief Justice John Roberts, 1 First Street Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20543. And maybe, and just put a message on the postcard. Well, son of a gun, there. And that just sent me a Goodyear tire recall. I'll read it after the program. I can't take it right now. But Your Honorable Chief Justice John Roberts, that's your salutations. Your court is illegitimate. That sounds fun. And, of course, the reason that John Roberts does not want to come and have a little tete-a-tete with the Senate Committee on the Judiciary is because it's not just that Fappy Thomas is dirty. It's not just that old Brett Kavanaugh's dirty. More on that in a minute. It's not just that Sammy Bad Breath is dirty or Ann's boy Neil is dirty. And it's also that old Balls and Strikes is dirty too, because the fact of the matter is Jane Roberts, the wife of old Balls and Strikes, made over $10 million as a recruiter for silk stocking law firms, recruiting lawyers to work for the silk stocking. And, you know, these major, these massive law firms are just giant legal pyramid schemes where you get the young associates to do all the heavy lifting and the senior partners make all the money. $10 million recruiting for these firms. 2007 to 2014, Jane Roberts made $10,871,828.10. Total placements, 213, 192 partners, 17 associates, and 4 law firm management. Good work if you can get it. I think that's the phrase, isn't it? And it turns out that Brett Kavanaugh, whose house mortgage, credit card debt, hot dogs and beer at the Nationals ballpark, et al., et cetera, remains, well, the benefactor who paid all of that remains a mystery. And we also know now that back when he was being confirmed by a compliant and pet Republican majority Senate Judiciary Committee, that the allegations of sexual misconduct against Brett Kavanaugh, not just the Christine Blasey Ford part, but the story about how he would go to parties when he was a Yalie and flip out his schmeckle, you know, drunk off his ass. Yeah, that he had a thing for exposing himself. And that was pretty much buried. And beyond being buried, it was, well, dummied up. It was fudged. And it turns out that a guy who was a Federalist Society member and a friend said, no, 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 that wasn't Brett that was flipping out his Johnson. That was, and he gave another guy's name. And when the other guy was interviewed, he said, I wasn't even a Yale student then. So there's significant credibility problems for the Senate report that said that the investigation of the allegations was complete. I'm not going to ask what other dirt's going to show up there in the Roberts court, on the Roberts side, because I'm almost terrified to find out. Or actually, I'm depressed to find out. Because the bottom line is, impeachment begins in the House of Representatives, and this maggot house full of Lulus and fools, idiots, vicious nincompoops could watch video of Fappy Thomas mowing people down in the street with an AR-15 and wouldn't do a damn thing about it except perhaps praise him. And we all know that's true. Darlene asking, Alito, what the hell is this? Now he's saying something? Utter crap. What's he hiding? What's he up to? POS. And he is. And what Darlene refers to is now Sammy Bad Breath, and I find this hilarious, Sammy Bad Breath now says he has a good idea who leaked the draft of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. According to the Wall Street Journal, who had the story today, Sammy Bad Breath said that old Balls and Strikes and the U.S. Marshal's Office and Michael Chertoff, of course, Skeletor, did a good job with the resources that were available to her, the Marshal did. And then he said, I personally have a pretty good idea who is responsible, but that's different from the level of proof that is needed to name somebody. And then he says he knows the motive. It was a part of an effort to prevent the Dobbs draft from becoming the decision of the court. And that's how it was used for those 6 weeks by people on the outside, as part of the campaign to try and intimidate the court. And it led to serious, that those of us who were thought to be in the majority, thought to have approved my draft opinion, were really targets of assassination. It was rational for people to believe that they might be able to stop the decision in Dobbs by killing one of us. That's bullshit. That is entirely a load of self-serving garbage. Because it didn't change and wasn't going to change any minds, whether it be Roberts or the handmaid or Brat or God knows Fappy or Gorsuch. What it did instead was it hardened them in their resolve to make that draft the opinion, which at about 99.9% it was, including references to things like witch burning as precedent. I'm pretty sure Sammy Bad Breath knows who leaked the decision to the draft, or who the leakers were, you know, him and Fappy. So, remember, there's also pastor, brother, minister Rob Shank, who said, I think I know who leaked the draft. Sammy Bad Breath leaked the draft. Maybe Sammy is a little bit, well, I don't know, guilty, conscience-wise, maybe, possibly. Oh, remember when a couple of days ago, Judge Lewis Kaplan told Joe Tacopina to tell Nitwit Nero, his client, to knock it off with the inciting rhetoric over E. Jean Carroll's lawsuit? Well, the dumbest man on the internet, a guy named Jim Hoft from over at Gateway Pundit. You know how you can tell who a real pundit is? They don't tell you they're a pundit. Jim Hoft, who, again, is the stupidest man on the internet, published an article by, that he had written claiming to prove that E. Jean Carroll is herself a sexual harasser. Because, according to Jim Hoft, E. Jean Carroll harassed, wait for it, and you may need the bucket for this. This is pretty nauseating. E. Jean Carroll, according to Hoft, sexually harassed Roger Ailes, telling him that he was her future husband. Well, even though Judge Kaplan told Nitwit Nero to knock it off, he sent the Hoft article out into the interwebosphere from his rickety-ass platform at Tripe Social. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I referred to Hoft as the stupidest man on the internet. He is officially dubbed the dumbest man on the internet. I mean, he's made a career of it. And now there are stories circulating that Nitwit Nero may himself just take the L and concede a loss to her and hope to appeal it upwards and make his claim again that he can't be sued for things that he said while in office. Danny Savalas showed up on my Filthy Morning Habit today. I know, Ralph. Ralph says, what? E. Jean Carroll is a leaker? No, a sexual harasser. Yeah. I need to go back to a note from Suman. Robin, stop telling us what speed limits to follow and which foot to put on the gas and why we should drive safely. Neoliberal establishment shill. It's the first cowbell of the evening. But anyway, Danny Savalas showed up on my Filthy Morning Habit where he opined as to how Nitwit Nero may just mail this one in. I don't know if that's M-A-I-L or M-A-L-A.
Who should I be more insulted by?
We need merch. We need merch, Jerry.
We do need merch. We do need merch. So again, I'm just a simple country lawyer, but I would think that an attorney in New York City would not be screaming at a woman who is saying his client raped her. And time and time again, as E. Jean Carroll was telling the jury this just horrific story about how she was raped, Joe Tacopina was berating her, yelling at her. The judge repeatedly had to call him off. This trial involving a possible rape not going well for Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, the accounts from inside the courtroom from people who were there yesterday is that Joe Tacopina, a familiar figure to a lot of people because he's been representing Donald Trump in the other case in Manhattan, was effectively harassing E. Jean Carroll on the stand as she told the story of what she says happened to her in the 1990s in that dressing room with Donald Trump. And the judge finally stopping to admonish Tacopina and say, hey, you'll have time to make a closing argument. Now is not the time for that. Sort of him chiming in and interrupting E. Jean Carroll throughout in a way that the judge thought was argumentative. So by most accounts, it was pretty ugly in that courtroom yesterday.
Danny, you are neither a country lawyer nor are you mediocre like me. So perhaps you can just verify for the our friends at home. Not good to yell at somebody who could have been a rape victim on the stand.
I've cross-examined victims like this. It is really, really difficult, and you have to be very careful. It's one thing to cross-examine a cooperating witness, someone who is a criminal testifying against another criminal. Then you can lay on the fireworks. But when you're cross-examining a victim of sexual assault, you have to be extra careful. You still have to explore things like their ability to perceive, their memory, whether or not they're motivated by something else.
Right.
And of course, in this case, and it's not a fun thing to talk about, but you have to explore why she took so long to report this. And we know now that that victims of sexual assault often never report because of fear of reprisal
She said, I mean, it's pretty easy, Elise. She was scared.
Sure.
I mean, what is the percentage of women who are victims of sexual assault, sexual abuse, rape, that will not respond because they don't want to go up on the stand and be abused by the rapist's attorney?
There's so little incentive for women to put themselves through that and to go on the stand.
Nope.
There are so many questions of judgment surrounding Donald Trump's choice to attack his accuser throughout this process. But number one, Danny, why doesn't he have a female lawyer?
That would be a good strategy. You're absolutely right.
Well, he's not even showing up.
Well, yes. And in a civil case, you don't have to.
Right.
But, you know, my theory here is that Trump is essentially conceding this battle because
right.
he knows that he already had a deposition. That's when you sit down, you're under oath, and you give a wide-ranging, essentially an interview, but you're locked into your testimony. And the way Trump's team probably sees it, far better to take my deposition if I'm not there, show the jury the video, even cherry-pick the good parts for the plaintiff. That is far preferable than me taking the stand in open court and letting a plaintiff's attorney take shots at me. And
yeah.
So if that means he loses the civil case, fine. He probably thinks he's losing a battle, but in his mind, winning a political war.
But Willie, you know what he can't cherry pick? He can't cherry pick the Access Hollywood tape, which basically reveals what his attitude has long been toward women. And of course, I think that's one of the reasons he didn't want to be in there, because he was going to have to confront his own words. He was going to have to confront his own actions. And again, right now, think about it. We talk about all these other cases that are going on right now. This may be a civil case, but this is a case involving Donald Trump raping somebody, We talk about payoffs to porn stars. This is a case where he has been accused by E. Jean Carroll of rape. He's not even showing up. His lawyer screaming at the possible rape victim, and it's not going well.
It's not going well, and that Access Hollywood tape, by the way, is admissible. It can be used in this trial, therefore likely will be used in this trial by E. Jean Carroll's lawyers. The tone, Danny, and I'm curious what you think of how this settles out, because it is a civil case and the standard is different. The tone from Joe Tacopina yesterday was, why didn't you scream? If this was so bad, why didn't you scream out? She said, I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. You know, all the things that rape victims are often harassed about, we heard in that courtroom yesterday. But what is the bar here for a civil judgment, unlike a criminal trial?
It's preponderance of the evidence. It's probably the only burden of proof that can be expressed mathematically. Beyond a reasonable doubt is the highest standard. It's our criminal standard. It is, you know, as lawyers like me will argue in closing, it's such a high standard. It doesn't mean beyond all doubt. It just means if you hesitate, the way you might when you're looking at possibly buying a house or something like that. But preponderance of the evidence could be basically 51%, because it's more likely than not, or it's more accurately 50.00001%, whatever tips the needle one way or another. So it's a much lesser burden, much easier to make out. That's why so many civil cases settle, because defendants know they're facing a very difficult burden, and they'd rather manage that risk and end up paying money they know that they can quantify today, rather than just some runaway jury's verdict later on in the future, and then they have to spend more money appealing it. So the burden here is much lighter. But, you know, I have to say, the tone maybe could have been changed, but a defense attorney in a case like this, whether it's criminal or civil, because this really is, it mirrors a criminal case, he has to explore the credibility of the victim on cross-examination. He has to do it. Now, the way you do it, you have to be nuanced. You have to be polite. You have to be respectful of the witness. So that's the key. And if you don't, the jury's going to see that, and they're not going to like it. So it is a needle you have to thread. And I got to tell you, it is hard to thread that needle. I've done it myself. I don't know if I've done it successfully, but it is hard.
And Rev, you know Joe Tacopina. You know the attorney very well. He didn't thread any needle yesterday. He just kind of kicked open the barn door and went in.
Yeah, I was surprised at how aggressive he was. And as particularly given his client, who he knows has a tape out there saying, you just grab him.
Right.
I mean, if you want to indict yourself, just play the tape. And
he's laughing about that.
He's laughing.
He's admitting
about, and he's instructing somebody
right.
how to do this.
He says,
so
this is how you do it.
This was not Joe's best day. Let's put it in.
No, Joe Tacopina, that is. Mika, also some news with Mike Pence. He ended up testifying after all of the twists and the turns and the fainting couches and the protesting too much. He testified. He always knew he was going to have to testify.
Hold on. Just got a note from Steve in New York. Hold on a second. Sounds to me like Joe is woke. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It really does. And they're right. Joe Tacopina was an absolute nightmare. I don't mean that he did harm to Ms. Carroll's case. I mean, it was horrible lawyering. And note coming in from John in Central PA. I've had it up to my ears with these SCOTUS justices and their blatant disregard for the public interest. Didn't they cock an attitude when we want to hold them accountable? I literally won't even so much as consider voting for any Democrat who doesn't run on reforming the court. Well, as with every general election, you've got a choice between a Democrat and a maggot. I understand your frustration. I understand your fury, John. I think maybe reforming the court. Well, there's no doubt that the court needs to be reformed. There needs to actually be ethics rules that can be applied to justices of the Supreme Court, you know, whether they like it or not. But there's more to the Alito story than what I mentioned earlier. And this deserves to be fleshed out. There was all kinds of pissing and moaning in it, in the article at the Wall Street Journal. Talking about the argument that, and it is a convincing argument, that the Dobbs decision was leaked to harden support for the opinion. Sammy Bad Breath pissed and moaned that that theory that has more legs and more substance behind it than any other theory. When he was asked about it, Sammy Bad Breath said, "That's infuriating to me. Look, this made us targets of assassination. Would I do that to myself? Would the five of us have done that to ourselves?" Sorry, but we know I'm a scholar of Bugs Bunny. Hey, if my buddy Muggsy was in this oven, would I turn the gas on? Yeah, you might, Travis, you might. Yeah, well, would I throw in a lighted match? Boom! All right, Rabbit, you've convinced me. I'll look for Muggsy in the city. This is that! Yeah, I'd never leak my own opinion to... I mean, who would do something like that? Because, you know, entirely imaginary people targeted us for assassination. He's probably talking about the one whack job... Sorry, that's really a cruel way to put it, but come on. That one whack job who got near, like, a couple of blocks away to Brat's house and then turned himself in. That's all. The judges that are actually getting threatened are the judges that are more toward the center or center left. The weirdo Federalist Society right-wing punks and thugs. Yeah, because Sammy Badreth is sitting around saying, yeah. When you go through past the windows, Eunice, get down and crawl. There may be somebody out there. There may be a liberal out there with an AR-15 that we on the court have said he should have. But that's not the worst of it. Sammy Bad Breath also turns out to be a pissy little bitch. Because now that people are finding out, you know, he's a shitbag, Gorsuch's a shitbag, Fappy is the biggest shitbag among shitbags, and ever since the ProPublica article came out about, you know, Fappy being a shitbag, the grifty, grafty shitbag, well, people are beginning to understand just how damn dirty this court is. And asking him about the, asking Sammy Bad Breath about the, a potential code of conduct enforceable against Supreme Court justices. Well, he labeled it a concerted attack on the court. Yeah, this type of concerted attack on the court and on individual justices is new during my lifetime. We are being hammered daily, and I think quite unfairly in a lot of instances, and practically nobody, is defending us. Really? I guess that's why all those impeachment hearings have been impaneled against you corrupt fucks. Oh, wait, there aren't any. Literally, the entire House majority is defending those scumbuckets from the Federalist Society. Poor whiny baby. What he doesn't like is that people are figuring out that they're all crooked as a dog's hind leg on that side of the court, and some people don't even like it. And that business about that this attack on individual justices is new in my lifetime. How old are you? You're the second oldest member of the court, you fuckwit. Does the name Felix Frankenfurter come to mind? He didn't even do anything. But he was driven off the court by mere allegations. Yeah, well, that don't count. Whatever happened to I-O-K-I-Y-A-R? I'm a Republican. It should all be okay. Wearisome. John in Central PA, rephrasing. Okay, I won't take Democrats as seriously if they don't at least include it in the platform. I'll vote for the Democrat, but you get my point. And, you know, that's kind of on our, that's on us. If you want them to talk about it, ask them about it and try to make them talk about it on the campaign trail. I think most candidates would prefer not to, simply because it provides, it, you know, the maggots are already out there grunting and bleating and braying. About how the Democrats want to pack the court, when court packing is exactly what was done through the collusion between Nitwit Nero and Moscow Mitch McConnell, and a compliant Republican Senate majority Senate Judiciary Committee. They are, in a word, professional victims. And so we're pretty much at the end of the filler lobster. I say Muggsy every time. You're absolutely right, Lee in New York. Subject line, what's up, Doc? Sorry to correct the Bugs aficionado. It was Rocky hiding it. Yeah, if my buddy Rocky was in was in that oven, would I turn on the gas? Yeah, Rocky, not Muggsy. Rocky. Signed, Lee, a.k.a. Clancy, taking the boys to surround the house in New York City. Clancy! Hey, Clancy! Holy rabbit.
You know, take me too. Take me!
Shit it. Shit nip. Yeah. A lot of fascination with the issue of the tires. Brother Deacon Asa said, the difference in the car manufacturer recommendation and the tire recommendation is because the auto manufacturer wants you to not end up in the ditch. The maximum inflation rating on the tire is meant to cover a whole swath of different applications. And Lee pointed out the Ford 34 PSI is a minimum. That's the low-pressure warning setting. If you were driving Ford tires, use the Ford rating. If you're using Goodyear tires, use the Goodyear rating. So somewhere between 34 and 50. And we'll see. Probably need to have it lined up. You know, they were mounted and balanced and deserves to be. I mean, it's not driving like it's not well, it's not in proper alignment, but it's always good to have a look at it. All right, I'm going to share something that came in here. These come in every so often. And they're kind of pathetic. So, subject, former subscriber. I've been a faithful listener and fan of your show going back to an old friend, Bill Mr. Stressmiller. He was loved and he is missed. That's why the stress line is the stress line. I cannot stand listening anymore until you get honest with yourself that it has essentially become a GoFundMe page. Seriously, non-stop fundraising. Along with your insistence that your show has not changed since your transition. Total BS. Your default mode is your new identity and LGBTQ plus issues. We haven't mentioned one of those in the entire hour, Greg. And before you label me a transphobe, long before you transitioned, I enjoyed immensely watching the Pose series on Netflix and loved all the characters and enjoyed their stories, many of which were heartbreaking. Adios, my old friend. Bye, Greg. I guess Greg wants us to live on love here. Because apparently, if Greg does indeed go back to the Bill Mr. Stress Miller days, we were fundraising then, too. this program's always run on listener contributions, listener gifts. That's why there's no commercials, Greg. That's why you were able to listen, Greg, without ever receiving a bill or being told that you had to subscribe to something. Everything's yours voluntary, so, you know, I'll miss you. Didn't hear from you much, but I'll miss you. I do find it curious that you couldn't stand the fundraising only after I transitioned. Isn't that, what did Yul Brynner say in The King and I? A puzzlement. 'Tis a puzzlement. Yeah, it is. It really is. And no, Greg, it's not a GoFundMe page. It's PayPal and Patreon. Believe you me, if we were rolling in the dough, well, Greg, I probably wouldn't have to mention fundraising. But just so you know, Greg, the reason I talk about what I do with these contributions is because I want to put some distance between myself and other people who do this work. I want people to know that, you know, there's not another supply of funds and we're just out living the life of Riley. That this is a program that is presented by, supported by, enjoyed by, and made by ordinary working people. Who have all the ordinary working people problems and challenges. I guess, Greg, maybe you think that somewhere along the way you helped fund my surgery? You didn't. Nobody here did. That's a fact. By the way, the GoFundMe page is over at GoFundMe and GoFundRobin.com. It's really not active anymore. That was about funding oral surgery and then throwing last year's horn in. It blows my mind to think that we are all just about at the 11-month mark. 11 months ago, we had the first horn in. Maybe we'll have another one next year. I'd love that. You'll notice, Greg, that I didn't label you a transphobe. Because after all, you watched Pose. Which was more about drag queens than some of the characters were trans. But it was about drag ballroom culture in the 80s. And it was spawned from a documentary called Paris is Burning. And if you've never seen Paris is Burning, you really should. So, I just felt like Greg deserved an answer. And there it is. We'll miss you, Greg. And no, the show has not changed. Because we were talking about the potty bills in North Carolina long before I transitioned. I was trans as hell, but it was before I transitioned. And it was outrageous then, and it's outrageous now. And the manifestation of galloping fascism in this country, as I've said before, is manifested in the attacks on one of the most marginalized communities in this country. Which, incidentally, Greg, I guess since you've said adios, you've turned off the program. But, incidentally, that's how fascists work. Start with a group that nobody will really miss. And then pick a slightly less marginalized group once you've done away with them. And work your way up. Start with the trans people, move on to the disabled, then to the Jews and the Muslims, then to other people of color, until you have a nice white Christian ethnostate. You know, if fascism was on the march across this country, attacking Muslims, we'd talk about that. The fascists are actively attacking Jews, and we talk quite a bit about that. I guess maybe I shouldn't have talked about the attack on the Tree of Life synagogue when that happened. But I don't know any other way to keep this program on the air and keep the lights on, keep the bills paid, because this is what I do. And it takes the better part of every day to prepare for this program. But it's funny how since I transitioned, these kinds of attacks have ramped up. Isn't it? So, we are a little bit past the top of the hour. The fundraising goal is $985. There's $300 of challenge money on the table. If someone would be kind enough to get started on that challenge, that would be wonderful. Because there's one scary-ass bill in the offing. And just so you can know a little bit what it's like to, you know, be me. When I mention fundraising, I get notes from people like Greg. When I don't mention fundraising, I get notes from other people saying, how are you going to keep the program on the air if you don't mention the fundraising goal? So you can see it's kind of a no-win situation. Damned if I do and damned if I don't. But the one damn thing I'd like to do is get to the is actually get to another anniversary of this program. And it is a strain, and it is a struggle, and it is constant worry and constant stress. Speaking of Mr. Stress, I wonder how Mr. Stress would have responded to Greg. Because I remember when Mr. Stress, Bill Miller, would call into the program, and he would pitch instead of me, saying, y'all, please keep this program on the air. But Greg only noticed the fundraising after I transitioned. But he's not a transphobe, y'all. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that he is. Because he isn't. Because he enjoyed watching Pose. Okay? I enjoyed watching Pose. I never finished it. But I enjoyed watching it. It was heartbreaking and beautiful. And the acting was... nothing short of magnificent. So, Sparky has kindly connected me to the Skype group gathered together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. So let's go there unto and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
Staying out of the heat.
I saw the I saw the picture of the thermometer. It looks looks a mite toasty.
Yeah, the first 90-degree day takes some getting used to.
I don't think I'm going to have to cope with one of those for a while.
It's kind of strange for April. We usually don't get them until May, but
well, we're getting early April in at the end of April, and we got late April at the beginning. We're looking, I know where you'd maybe like to be on, say, Monday or Tuesday. Here. You know what the high temperature is on Tuesday, the second day of May, and Wednesday, the third day of May here, Sparky?
No.
48.
Well, you can keep it.
The low, all week long, the low, overnight low, never gets above 42 degrees. So we will be fully a week into May, and we won't even cross 60 degrees for a high. And that's why I noticed Roger in the chat room, in the chat, saying something that I've mentioned before. It's been a very cold spring. The rule of thumb here in Eugene is not to set out your tomatoes till after Mother's Day. Well, that may be the rule of thumb in Eugene, Roger, but it's also the rule of thumb in Fayette County, West Virginia, because all those eager beaver gardeners get busy putting out their West Virginia 1863s and their better girls and best boys and beef eaters and beefsteaks and Cherokee blacks, and then next week happens and they're all dead and you got to plant them again. So I'm fully comprehending that, Roger. And Roger, thank you very kindly. Roger got us started on Chris's Royale challenge. So we got $250 to go on that. Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much. Scary Jerry jumped in. Fuck the haters, girl. I'm headed to the Rainbow Islands. Oh, man. Yeah, look, he's headed. Scary Jerry's back down to the Keys. Micah just chimed in after I shared Greg's note. Tuned in late. Someone get butt hurt? Yeah, Micah, I'm apparently fundraising too much, and it's not because the person complaining is a transphobe, because he enjoyed watching Pose. Stop it, Robin. Lee in New York says, of course the podcast has changed. If it never did, it would be ... reruns. Truth. And this happens. I get so wrapped up in things that I miss things every now and then. Ralphs, I didn't see a challenge. Oh, there it is, yeah. Democrats refuse to let John Roberts ignore SCOTUS ethics problems. I'm offering a $25 challenge in honor of the Democrats writing a letter to John Roberts. Thank you, Ralphs. And what she's talking about is the letter that went off to John Roberts from 11 Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee, after he said no, he would not show up and have a chit-chat with the Senate Judiciary Committee. All 11 Democrats signed a letter asking him the questions they would have asked him had he deigned to show up. So there's actually $325 in challenge money on the table. So that means now there's $275 to go. Thank you, Roger, for getting us started. Thank you so much. Sorry, I just had to. Jack in Shreveport said, talking about fundraising, haven't you said before that the amount of actual funds raised drops when you don't talk about fundraising on the air? Yes, it does. So that would be a fact, Jack says, whether people like hearing about it on the air or not. It does need to be mentioned on the air. Yeah, if I don't mention it, it doesn't happen. And then if it doesn't happen, other bad things happen. You're absolutely right, Jack. Thanks for recalling that. Oh, let's see. For our benefit, Scary Jerry tells us the temperatures through the Rainbow Islands, the Keys, 86 degrees. And then as you go further south and west into the Caribbean, 82, 87, 84, 82. Looks so nice.
Well, this is just a fluke here. It's going to change tomorrow and start dropping. We might even get some rain.
And you could still use it, right?
Oh, yeah, I could use it. I wouldn't have to water.
Isn't that nice?
I got two of those oscillating sprinklers now that I have a well. You know, I'm going crazy with the watering. And I use it out there where the tomato patch is to water them. Keep the grass green around the patch.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking longingly at tomato plants earlier today. If nothing else, I may try to get some cheap pots, and because I gotta have fresh tomatoes. I just do. I'd like to have my whole huge garden again, but that's going to involve electric fencing because there's no other way to keep the deer out. Short of, you know, putting up a guard tower with a 30-aughts with a 30-30 with a baby bottle nipple on the muzzle. On a tripod swivel. No, I'll arrest you for that. Thank you, Henry. Henry just got us down to 225 on Chris's Royale challenge. Thank you, Henry. Anything but tomatoes, Sparky? Yeah, some zucchini?
Zucchini.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just went down to the Ace Hardware store. It's about a mile away, if that. And they got a garden center there.
Yeah.
So it's small. It's not big, but I just got what they had there. Instead of running all the way uptown to, you know, Home Depot.
Oh, yeah. That's enough. Eventually here at the, at least they usually do every spring, the folks at the Wiggling Pig, we'll have some tomato plants and the like out. I really love the really lobe tomatoes and the heirlooms and stuff. Roger may opine on that. But God knows there's no comparison between those and the little green baseballs in the grocery store.
As far as tomatoes?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm lucky then because I get those indoor grown ones that come in a box, the little small ones.
Yeah, we get those too, but I still don't think they've got the same flavor kick as one that is literally ripened in the sun on the vine.
I know, but they're probably the best tomato they got there for taste wise is what I'm trying to say.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I had some on my bologna dill pickle sandwich.
You know, that just sounds so good. Fried bologna, or do you just do it straight out of the fridge?
Just straight out of the fridge.
I was up at the Wiggling Pig. I was up at the Wiggling Pig today, and I noticed that they've gotten in some of that nice Kretschmer top round corned beef. It's not brisket, but it's corned beef. And I was immediately overcome by the desire to A, have a warm day, B, fire up the Blackstone griddle outside, and C, make Reubens.
Yeah, well, I'm just, lunch pail guy working, when I was working.
Here in West Virginia, the lunch pail guys will crawl across ground glass for a fried bologna sandwich. You know, you don't have to grill the sandwich, but you want to fry the bologna and just get a little bit of that crisp on both sides and mayonnaise, cheese, whatever. Yeah, Darlene in Connecticut says y'all are just going to have to stuff it because climate change is great for Wisconsin, per Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson, the dumbest man in Wisconsin.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Oh, I know. And to say that somebody's the dumbest man in Wisconsin is saying something when you're talking about a state that has people like Glenn Grothman and Robin Voss in it.
Yeah.
Or
Scott Walker,
that dude bro who ran for Supreme Court.
Brett Favre. I know he's not originally from Wisconsin, but he's honorary. He's definitely an honorary cheesehead.
Well, I guess he has to be. And even though he has decamped for old New York, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He'll
always be a California boy from right down the road.
Yeah, true. Oh. Berkeley kid, right?
No, he grew up in Chico.
Oh, Chico, okay.
Around Horse Chico paced, anyway.
Spokesperson.
I think he lived in Paradise for a while, too. That's why he did so much good for the Paradise fire victims.
And then he turned out to be a Joe Rogan dude bro and an anti-vax asshole and, yeah, whatever. But then, yeah, then again, Brett Favre went back to Mississippi and ran a grift.
Area.
Say what?
Oh yeah, Brett Favre did. Yeah, he's suing Pat McAfee.
I hope Pat cleans his clock. I have a soft spot for Pat because, of course, he was a kicker for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, he's had Pat Mang Jones on his show now for weeks, about three days a week.
Really? What's Pac-Man got to say?
He just does analyzing. They talk about football all the time. And then he's got connections, so they get to interview. He gets people to call on FaceTime with Pat.
Because Pac-Man was a piece of work.
He got into a lot of trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, well, there was that whole making it rain at the strip club and people got shot and shit like that. And do I recall that correctly, Christopher?
Maybe. It's hard to keep up on all his shenanigans. Is it the Jets? Isn't that where, like, old quarterbacks go out to pasture, live out their final days?
Yeah, a farm in upstate New York called the Jets.
Yeah.
And he
it's
can
like
run
Vegas
and play. Run and play all he wants.
Yeah. And
New
no one
York
cares
Jets.
Because it's the Jets.
The New Jersey Jets Rescue Farm.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Adam Rogers Rescue.
You know
shelter
John
animal.
Stewart has a rescue farm
His
in New
days are
New
over.
Jersey.
What's that, Sparky?
John Stewart's wife runs a rescue farm in New Jersey.
Perfect.
Well,
kind of animals.
I got a story here. There's a couple of them because we've moved into the fun and frivolity portion of the program. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor hipped me to this one. I don't think we could get through a Friday without a marginal trailer queen sighting.
God.
Marge has decided to attack Randy Weingarten. Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers. They were having a hearing on diversity of thought, protecting free speech on college campuses. Now, what this has to do with Randy Weingarten's parental status is kind of beyond me. I don't know. Maybe Marge thinks that Randy's, well, just listen to the stupid. Get the hockey puck.
Actually, in reinvesting in our schools, that's actually going to help to ensure that if there's a future pandemic, we can solve it even faster and learn from our mistakes. Thank you so much.
I now recognize Ms. Green from Georgia for 5 minutes of questions.
That's a mistake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Weingarten, are you a medical doctor?
I am not.
Are you a mother?
I am a mother by marriage.
By marriage, I see.
And my wife is here with me, so I'm really glad that she's here, Rabbi Sharon Kleinow.
Miss Weingarten, and you haven't taught school since the 90s, so you're not a teacher anymore.
I'm actually on leave from my teaching position, and this fall I will be teaching as a guest teacher at Cornell, my alma mater.
When was the last year you taught? 1997, is that correct?
The last time I taught a full class was June 1997.
Okay, that's been quite a long time, approximately 26 years ago. Do you believe in the First Amendment, Ms. Weingarten?
I believe in the Constitution, including the First Amendment, of course.
Oh, great. Well, I'd like to remind you of one of your tweets here where you agreed that my suspension on Twitter, in your own words, politicians shouldn't be exempt from standards about spreading misinformation. Green has repeatedly shown reckless disregard for those standards. This suspension is justified. This is your tweet just last year, January 2nd, 2022. I was suspended for my statements about COVID-19 as a member of Congress, by the way. And also, I'd like to point out by the emojis.
Imagine being
by
proud of
here,
this.
It looks like you're more of a political activist than anything. Clearly, unfortunately, you think Ukraine comes before the United States. I'm not sure what the black flex is. I mean, is that digital blackface? But congratulations on graduating from school. But I'd like to
No,
go.
It is about honoring black.
Ms. Weingarten, I reclaim my time. I didn't ask you a question.
Sorry.
What I'd like to talk about is your recommendations to the CDC as not a medical doctor, not a biological mother, and really not a teacher either. So what you did is you advised the CDC.
Mr. Chairman,
excuse me, this is my time. You advised the CDC to have schools provide remote work. Options for staff that have documented high-risk conditions who are increased risk for severe illness from COVID-19 to limit the risk of workplace exposure, telework, virtual teaching opportunities, modified job responsibilities, environmental modifications, scheduling flexibility, temporary reassignments to different job responsibilities. None of your advice had to do with to stop the spread of COVID-19. It was all about teachers staying home. And there was big results of that. Let me tell you, I am a mother, and all three of my children were directly affected by the school closures, by your recommendations, which is something that you really can't understand. I'd like to point out, let's talk about the real effects of this. Obviously, we know the test results. Oh, and by the way, you celebrating what I had said on Twitter, I had said the children should be in school. I had said the truth, that children were not dying at high risk.
Wow, she's defending something that happened 2.5-3 years ago to the president of a massive union in the United States of America. Isn't she amazing? But somebody has smartened her up. They've made sure that she knows now that she can't ask questions because, well, then you know what would happen. Randy Weingarten
would. This raises a question, though. Is the Capitol Hill pharmacy closed? I mean, is she short on her meds? What the hell is wrong with that woman?
Jewish lady.
You're not a biological mother.
Doesn't she have friends or associates who will take her in hand and get her the care that she does so desperately?
No, Scott, no. At this point, we've moved into Thorazine Dart and blowgun territory.
Oh, this woman is off the twig. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the proceedings.
No. You're quite.
I'm sitting here listening, and I can if you. I was very quiet on this end, and I could actually hear brain cells dying, screaming, and then, in that little high-pitched brain cell sort of voice that they make.
I can hear the universe crying.
That's it. Okay. We're up to 3 cowbells now.
It's like out of It's a Wonderful Life. Every time you hear her speak, an angel shoots himself or herself or itself. I mean, Jesus, God help us.
Every time every time she speaks, Clarence jumps into the river again, whether there's anybody there or not.
And I'm right there doing a swan dive right after him.
Help! Jesus. Help! Remember how Clarence screamed, help!
Yeah. Robin, because of her, I have to wear a permanent hockey puck around my neck.
Just keep it on a lanyard.
Just in case I hear her speak, I have to have it permanently.
Chris, I've done you one better. I've got a hockey puck on a lanyard around my neck with a garlic clove embedded in the center of it. I mean, I'm not taking any chances.
That's in case Ted Cruz shows up. You need the garlic.
Good Lord, Agnes.
And the wolf's mane.
Well, I mean, but isn't that something? She's so far down this gender rabbit hole now that, well,
it brings to mind something that Mark Twain supposedly said. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. You know? I mean, did he have her in mind or somebody like her? This woman needs, they need to take her in hand and said, get her down to the regrooving clinic, Robin. I'm telling you, put her on the heavy-duty regrooving device all weekend if necessary.
This is the industrial regroover. This is the one for those heavy-duty trucks that Joe Manchin
for Acme.
Yes.
God. Wile E. Coyote, where are you? Order us a big one and strap her in.
And Matt in San Francisco, another cowbell. I love it. I love it when the program takes turns like this. Marge's kids. I don't think it's the lack of schooling that negatively affects her children. The calls are coming from inside the house, Ms. Green.
So true.
Uh-oh,
or the belfry, Matt. The calls are coming from inside the belfry, and they're being made by bats.
The bell tolls for Marjorie.
Mm-hmm.
And
bless his heart, Representative Robert Garcia was the person you heard speaking at the very beginning of the clip. And he's the one you hear try to speak up. There's just a couple more minutes left of this madcapery. Well, 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
Rates of COVID-19 like older people were. I had also advocated for our children, not for teachers getting to stay home and kids being forced into virtual schooling. I advocated for the safety of our children and for their education. But you, as a political activist for the president of the teachers union, were not advocating for anything good for our kids. And our kids have suffered greatly. As a matter of fact, suicides increased. Their rates of learning went down. And you know what else happened to them? Anxiety, depression, all kinds of problems happened to kids. And then ironically, here's something that was shocking to me. And I'll bring this up to you. You know what else happened? While kids were forced to stay home, and you approve of this, the diagnosis of youths with gender dysphoria surged. This is literally
the COVID caused the transing.
This is 2021. And this is a problem. This is a major problem. And the direct effect of school closures can be seen here. These are diagnoses of gender dysphoria. And you can see it sharply increased after 20 and 21.
I'd just like to remind us all that the title of this hearing was, and I want to make sure I get this right, it's in the House Education and Labor Committee, and the hearing was Diversity of Thought, Protecting Free Speech on College Campuses. And suddenly now we're talking about how COVID trans the children. Well, I
thought it was called Magic Mushroom Marjorie Recites Naked Lunch. That's what it sounds like to me.
Magic Mushroom Marjorie paints the paisley sky. God,
Do you take good pleasure in exposing this to this stupidity?
Yes.
Yes. Well, we have to know it because she's our boss. Well, she's a Congress critter.
She is a threat to the peace and dignity of the United States of America, quite frankly.
Yes.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah, but that's you, Sparky. I mean, to simply say marginal trailer queen is a loon does an injustice to just how fucking mean. And that's the thing. It's not just that she's nuts. She's vicious. She's mean. Darlene, for instance, points out, if I recall, she never even graduated from high school. What? No. She graduated from college. You're thinking of Lauren Clanny Granny Boobert, who failed the GED three times, you know, at the age of 30, and then apparently got somebody to take it for her the fourth time.
Don't forget, come on down to the bowling alley and check out my hubby's chubby.
Christopher, dignity, please. Greg's still listening.
I'm just saying, it's on the record.
True. Darlene, she is a proud daughter of the University of Georgia, then Athens. Gave her a degree in everything. Darlene asks, what real job has she ever even held? She's utterly unemployable, yet she can find a well-paying grift with the Republican Party. She claims to have been in the construction business. Yeah. Moreover, Darlene adds, some biological mother she is, fornicating on her husband and breaking up her own family and that of another family, the stupid, ugly twit bird. Stupid, ugly twit bird gets a jangle.
Did they use her head as a jackhammer? That could explain a lot. She was in construction.
No, I think it was actually a dumpster. You know, you pull the lid back and just dump all the crap in and put it back to boom. But these graphs she's got, because the fact of the matter is, gender dysphoria diagnoses probably did go up during the pandemic because kids were at home and they could be safe around their family and their parents, you know, the ones who love their trans kids. It certainly kicked me in the ass, gave me the impetus I needed. Not because I had to stay home, but because in my case, I realized that there was a virus going around that could kill me in a week or two, and I'd wind up horizontally crucified with a garden hose down my throat, and I was damn well not going to die in the closet. And
well, we didn't want the kids killing grandma and grandpa.
Well, there's that, too. I mean, can you imagine being her child?
Yeah.
I mean, the trauma. But I need to send out thank you to Kevin. Kevin, up in Massachusetts, thank you so much. You just got us down to 150 to go on the Royale Challenge, courtesy of Chris in Germany. 150, and then there's another 25 from Ralphs for the 11 senators who wrote to Old Balls and Strikes. Now, Greg tells me he's still listening. He said he can't quit. He can't quit me. I'm his filthy little habit.
Just out of curiosity, does she get a chance to respond?
Well, we are now at a minute and 40. Probably not. I think it may be that we hear from Representative Garcia again. I wanted to share a note from Tamara, who simply said, "Bye, Greg. I was wondering when we would go from a man justified in providing for his family to a woman fundraising for her lipstick and heels. Pose. Lol." Thank you, Tamara. I appreciate y'all having my back. Marjorie Trailer Park, green with envy. Green with envy. Ha. I just have to ask MTG, is she a teacher? Is she a doctor? Having played doctor does not count. Is she qualified to ask questions? Diagnosis. Yeah, I know. having.
You mean playing doctor at the CrossFit shower yeah. doesn't count?
Yeah, playing doctor with the gym bunny boy. Ooh, those biceps, those triceps. I'm an anatomist. Anatomist.
Here, let me help you with that soap.
Ooh, we've got to be... cleanliness is next to godliness. Let me lather you up, hon. Ew. Okay, there's just a little bit more of this, and then we'll be okay.
It went up. The rates went up. So kids...
Remember, free speech on college campuses. That the password is college.
...were forced to stay home into so-called virtual learning, where they were spending a lot of time on social media, and all of a sudden we see a direct result of this. And this is a major problem. But the other problem is you had no business advising the CDC what the medical guidelines were for school closures, because now we have a nation of school children who have suffered because of it. The problem is people like you need to admit that you're just a political activist, not a teacher, not a mother, and not a medical doctor.
Gentlelady's time is expired. I now recognize Mr. Jordan from Ohio for 5 minutes.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make note that the decorum of the attacks on the witness were unacceptable that the gentlelady from Georgia just did. And so it'd be nice if we didn't attack the witnesses, particularly when making a decision about whether or not she's a mother. You are a mother. Thank you for being a great parent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your that point was Representative Garcia.
Mr. Garcia.
Good for him. Thanks for standing up. They're all afraid. The Republicans on that committee and every other committee that Marge is on now are scared of her because she mean-girled the last committee that tried to that struck her remarks. Her remarks should. That was Representative Garcia from California.
Well, I heard Jordan's name. I was going to say that's
no, that
that's
no, that was not Jim. No, he Representative Garcia jumps in front of Jim Jacket Off Jordan.
Yeah, because I can't imagine he must have gotten some bad acid to say something kind like that and supportive and, you know, standing up for the witness. I mean, Jesus. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. But they are. She's the queen of mean. And she's the queen mean fundraising machine.
I'm sure they're eating it up down in her district.
And see, she can direct the wrath of her mouth walking, knuckle breathing, picking their teeth with their toenail clippings followers in their millions onto other Republicans, which she did last week.
Well, and wasn't she among the folks who required McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, to jump through flaming hoops and sign?
Yes, she was Team McCarthy all along.
Oh,
Clanny Granny was over there with the.
In order to be that supportive of him becoming the speaker, he would have to conform to her way of doing stuff and thinking and the agenda and all of that stuff.
Yes.
And she got her committee ships.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well,
And she tried to quell the insurrectionists. She was seen.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
By the way, this is huge. Chris's challenge and Ralph's challenge are fulfilled. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark, so very much. And what's more, we are... that means that we're actually $25 into what remains, which means there's
$45 to go to complete a true Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. Mark, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. So that's a considerable relief. And if we have a miracle, that's even better. If we can finish April to the good. Mark, you're amazing. Everybody's amazing that's responded this evening and every other evening. Matt in San Francisco, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert could be in the wheelchair. Butches are in the wheelchair. Boebert. work with me on that a little bit. I'm probably a little slow because I've been up since 5 this morning.
I didn't understand that. That was it. I was waiting for more.
Yeah.
She could be in the wheelchair. What?
I'm gonna let Matt sort that one out for us.
Workshop.
And also, workshop it exactly, Christopher. Matt sent this along in reference to.
I don't want to wear foundation.
Yeah. Sorry, had the wrong device. Got to go elsewhere for this. Okay. It goes with the previous video. We'll understand it better. So we got to go to the video, the audio. Betty Davis sings, "I've written a letter to Daddy, whatever happened to." So we'll start there. Thank you for the clarification, Matt. Is that Victor Buono?
I've written a letter to Daddy. His address is heaven above. I've written, "Dear Daddy, we miss you and wish you were with us to love. Instead of a stamp, I put kisses. The postman says that's best to do. I've written a letter to Daddy saying I love you.
Interlude. Okay, I get it all now, Matt. Jesus. And Scott, I know you know this is from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah, that is.
And the cutaways to Joan Crawford just sitting there looking at her batshit crazy sister.
Yeah, well, and see, the thing is, not too long afterwards, one of my favorite scenes is when Victor witnesses some of the mistreatment or whatever, and goes running, screaming out of the Hudson sisters' house. It's a great, great moment in Hollywood. Great moment in cinema.
Yeah, and Matt says, every time I see Marge, I can't help but imagine where she'll end up. I see her at age 69 on a
Georgia plantation, done up in all white face makeup, her long curly blonde hair in black bows. She's dancing in the ballroom alone, piano music playing. She's simply twirling, "I've written a letter to Daddy." Lauren Boebert could be in the wheelchair. Is her in the wheelchair, Boebert? Okay. And see, Matt, that's where I see her winding up in 30 years. It makes me feel better thinking of Marge's future. Yeah, because look, and I mean, I don't want to tie the two together because they're entirely different women. One has performed amazing public service to her constituents, and the other one's Marjorie Taylor Greene. But we've been talking on the program of late about, DIFI. Mm-hmm. And I guess I got to be careful with my karma, but I sure as shit wish it was Marge laid up with the shingles instead of DIFI. That's really mean of me. Is it? Is it really? I've written up. That's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the evening, Matt. Thanks so much.
I don't think Shingles want any part of her. They don't want to have her.
No, Marge would make Shingles cry.
Yes.
Oh, it's just awful. But it's actually part of a... Okay, so Marge there was part one. Now, we move on to a right-wing celebrity, another dude bro, this one named Steven Crowder. Steven Crowder, meanwhile, is feuding with Candy O. You know, Candy Owens, otherwise known as Ben, my dry wife Shapiro in blackface drag. Yeah. So, Steven Crowder, is in the middle of a divorce, and it's a nasty one. And video has come out showing the level of emotional abuse that this good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican heaped on his wife, Hillary, while she was 8 months pregnant. Now, remember, Steven Crowder is an exponent of masculinity, you know, just like... testicle toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. And Yashar Ali. I'm sorry, what?
Well, I just wanted to say, to add to that, he's always strapped with a firearm across his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
That's his shtick.
Yeah, because he's going to stop. Whatever.
Just in case Antifa break into the studio.
Yeah, and the BLM and the transes, the transgender mafia,
and the groomer,
groomers. So he blathers on and on YouTube, but he was caught on video, and journalist Yashar Ali shared it with the world. And remember, his wife Hillary is 8 months pregnant. And he just becomes enraged at her because she, according to him, will not respect the boundaries that he has established and will not perform her wifely duties. And by wifely duties, he means medicating their dogs, even though at 8 months pregnant, she explains to this dipshit that the chemicals in the drugs could harm their unborn child.
It's ugly as hell. It's vicious. It's toxic. And it all comes from a Ring video, which, yeah, got the audio right here.
I drew a boundary. I drew a boundary. No, you just did it. I drew a boundary and abusive because and cruel. You were not taking the car. Because if you refuse to do wifely things, then I will go pick up the groceries.
There's no groceries. I'd be happy.
Steaks, wood pellets, my grill.
My grill.
But I'll go do it. How about you first? Hillary, how do you respect a man? Yes, other than that, I'm a man. You see, love respect.
My grill. So she is 8 months pregnant, and this paragon of masculinity wants her to go to the grocery store and heave around. And I know there's some people in the Horn Family Community Congregation who have pellet grills. I personally will not own one. It is a source of contention between Brother Deacon Asa and me. But those things are heavy. And at 8 months pregnant, he wants her hauling around on heavy bags of pellets because, and did you hear the plaintive, petulant nature? My grill.
No, you're not taking the car.
Steven,
you're not taking the car.
Steven,
you are not.
Then I will ask someone to pick me up. Would you like me to ask?
Oh, that's right.
It's not about Steven.
Give him an Uber.
Okay, Steven, I can't.
Feeling some constraints?
Steven.
Like, I can't
Steven.
Go. Listen to me. You want to walk out right now? Listen to me. I can't go to the gym. I can't go to my parents. I can't call my friends. I can't be home. You're going to take the car and leave me here. Hillary, just think of how boxed in you've made me.
What do you need me to pick up? I'll get it. I'll be back when I'm back.
No, that doesn't work either. You'll be back when you're back. That doesn't work either.
What a pissant.
So he can't get an Uber?
And he's trapped at home. I mean, he's 8 months pregnant after all.
Well, and if she's pregnant, wouldn't it make Jeebus cry if she put shoes on? I thought you're supposed to be barefoot and pregnant.
Well, I hate to break this to you, Christopher. She is. She is barefoot and pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you understand the difference between my life being set to the second and you going, I'll be back, I'm back?
Steven.
The only way out of it is discipline and respect. If the only way out of it, then we're at an impasse.
We are at an impasse.
Good. Because you can't have any discipline and respect.
Yeah.
There you go. You throw your hand. You give up so easily.
I don't give up, Stephen.
You give up so easily. I just said the only way out of this is discipline and respect. You said, then we're at an impasse.
Stephen, no.
What's he going to do? Give her a spanking? Daddy. I wrote a letter to Daddy. Jesus, these people. Do y'all find this as disgusting as I do?
Yeah, I've watched The Handmaid's Tale. This is it.
It really is. And they live in a beautiful home because he works for right-wing hate media and makes a fortune doing it. And presumes that devolves a status upon him of establishing boundary and discipline because he must be the head of the household because God said so.
Mm-hmm. We are at an impasse, okay? I love you, but Steven, your abuse is sick. Your abuse
watch
is
it.
Sick.
Watch it.
What are you going to do, hit her?
Fucking watch it.
I'm going to let go. I'll get what you need me to get. And I need some space. We need to just talk and baby for a little bit. Okay? I love you. I love you very much.
I don't love you. That's the big problem. I've never received love from you. And the fact is, when I go, look, I need you to do A, B, C, and D, just be disciplined about it. You go, no. But I love you more than life itself. Okay. Put on some gloves. No. But I love you more than life itself. That's not fair. It's not fair, and it's disingenuous.
Not fair.
Hillary, you're right. We're at impasse. Become someone, as you may be, day in and day out, worthy of a wife worth? No, not as a wife. I didn't say as a wife. Hillary, come on now.
I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to engage anymore. I'm going to go. I'll get text me what you need. I'll get you what you need. I love you. I'm committed to you.
Are you committed enough to do those things?
I'm not going to.
Are you committed enough to do those things? You're not committed to anything. You're not committed to anything. You just said I love you. I'm committed to you. Walk the dogs, put on some gloves. Walk the dogs, put on some gloves.
Walk the dogs. Walk the dogs. Holy shit.
You know, and these are the fuckbirds. These are the fuckbirds that think. One second, Roger. These are the fuckbirds that don't think people in same-sex marriages should have children. This motherfucker has no business having children. None. Go ahead, Roger.
She should take the car and find the nearest women's shelter. And the next stop's the attorney for the divorce lawyer.
Well, that's pretty much what happened. She left. The divorce is acrimonious. He is exposed for the piece of shit that he is. And his her family says that she hid his emotionally abusive behavior for years. There's just a little bit left of this.
Are you committed enough to do anything? Walk the dogs, put on some gloves. Are you committed enough to get the medication the dogs? No, you take that in.
And as he walked inside by his own admission, he screamed at her, I will fuck you up.
Wow. Who's the dude?
Steven Crowder. He's a right-wing masculinity man with a gajillion followers on social media, YouTube, what have you.
You know, the remarkable thing, Robin, I don't know if you watch this show. I catch it from time to time. It's been on for like 30 years. Dateline, NBC, the magazine show. And every couple of weeks, they'll have a story about spousal abuse or spousal murder. You know, crazy husband kills wife who never got to share a substation, you know, in time. And this could be a fucking lead up to a typical Dateline NBC story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the story
that ends with the wife's head in a bowling bag.
Yeah, yep. It's typical, and I hope she had the sense enough to get the hell out of there and stay
Lots
out.
Lots of different garbage bags for different parts. Yep, that's exactly how this ends up.
And Crowder, for his own part, said, I mean, listen to this. I've been living with a proverbial boot on my neck for going on years now. Since 2021, I've been living through what has increasingly been a horrendous divorce. And no, this has not been my choice. This is him. This is the guy. My then wife decided she didn't want to be married anymore.
Oh.
And in the state of Texas, that is completely permitted. It's permitted in every state in the union. She simply wanted out, and the law says that's how it works. It's no one else's fault but my own. Wait, the non-apology apology. He's a Republican, after all. It's no one else's fault but my own that I picked wrong. And that certainly isn't the fault of my children.
At any given time, this crazy son of a bitch had a vote in the matter. And step one, before you even cast your vote, is to behave like a responsible adult human being, for fuck's sake.
Way too much to ask of this asshole.
So what is the disposition? Did she get out safely, or are they going to split up?
Well, I mean, yeah, she got away. The video got out. The divorce is ongoing.
Her family told Yashar Ali, Hillary is currently living alone in Dallas, apart from her family and support system in Michigan, and is focused on taking care of her young children. She is not prepared at this time to speak about her divorce becoming public or the misleading statements made by Stephen about their relationship. The truth is that Hillary spent years hiding Stephen's mentally and emotionally abusive behavior from her friends and family while she attempted to save their marriage. She was the one who was asking to work on their relationship to keep the marriage intact for their unborn children. In June of 2021, Stephen left their home to pursue elective surgery. Now, this guy, this isn't some old Rush Limbaugh-type gut bucket. This is a young, healthy, masculine man. Elective surgery? Did he get work done? Did he get some plugs?
Did he get, like, a Johnson, like Rob Johnson has?
Yeah, maybe he went in to have the dick-lengthening surgery. We don't know. Hillary urged him to get the help he needed to address his abuse with the hope that their marriage could be saved and they could peacefully live together as a family. Instead, Stephen refused to do so and chose not to be with his wife during the birth of their twins. Twins! She's at 8 months carrying twins!
God.
I hope she had the good sense to include in the official paperwork not that it always does any good, but a restraining order where he can't come within a mile of wherever she is.
Yeah, but it's he chose not to be with his wife during the birth of their twins. After the birth, Stephen bought a townhouse and left their home permanently. Hillary was unaware that Stephen had hired a divorce attorney and asked his assistant to cut Hillary off financially. There is significant documentation substantiating these facts.
What a dick.
You know, I always thought when it came to these right-wing lunatics that most of it was an act, like Fucker Carlson. But I'm beginning to think that, no, this is really how much of an asshole these people are. And this is proof positive, case number one.
And among other things, what he does is he shows up at college campuses and does pop-up debates. One of which has been famously memed, but the original sign said, "Male privilege is a myth. Change my mind." He's a homophobe. He's a sexist. He's a racist. He says that women cannot be geniuses.
He dresses in drag and takes videos.
Drag?
Yes. There's videos of him in drag. He's making fun of it, but you know. There's a part of him that likes it. You know he does.
Come out, Stephen. We see you. You're valid.
He's valid, right? He's Stephen Crowder, now valid.
And all kidding aside, I can... And by the way, Matt says, in my defense, I'm on very heavy cough medicine trying to fight this cough the last time I had. It lasted over a month. So the infection is back, but this time I have my left ear still healing from being operated on. The doctor gave my pictures of my eardrum during mid-operation. I now have seen the bone that has something grafted to it. Yay, modern medicine. So maybe I should refrain from further comments on topics and just get some rest. I just really don't want the lungs throat infection to not reach the inner ear, which is healing up after being chopped into. Wish me luck. Put me down for $25 towards the challenge. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. I will impose upon you. I will speak for the trans community here. You speak for the gay community. Internalized
everyone. Don't forget everyone. Everyone in the trans.
Yeah. Yes. And Matt is in charge of everybody in the vast national gay men's choir. But among trans people, they will tell you that internalized transphobia until you kick the closet door down, set fire to it, and scatter the ashes is a very real thing. And I think Matt will probably echo my sentiments and say, closeted gay men are the worst homophobes on earth.
Larry Craig.
Well, Larry Craig. But this, though, Crowder had a segment in which he said that it was ridiculous that black people could be farmers.
What?
Yeah.
Black people can't be farmers?
And so now, as I mentioned starting out, Steven Crowder is at war with Candio.
Yes. Oh, it's an epic battle.
God. I hope they both lose.
Yes.
So they're in a seventh grade slap fight. He started talking publicly against his estranged wife's wishes about his horrible divorce. And then he said, there are other people who are in positions of power, influence, and leverage who are aware of the breakdown of my marriage. They also knew that the safety of my children included keeping it private. So if you're familiar with the idea of extortion, then you know the feeling well. This is him, professional victim. Remember, he's one of those personal responsibility guys. Now some of these threats were so thinly veiled that I'm frankly surprised you didn't all guess immediately. And then he played a clip of Candio. She said, Crowder has a lot going on. He called her a self-styled Christian. And Candio slapped back and said, Ben My Dry Wife Shapiro in blackface drag. He's now upping the ante and suggesting that I extorted him. I will not take that lightly. I am not Hillary Crowder. It's not exactly like she came for Stephen there, is it? A woman attacking another woman. But then again, we had, what was it, last week we had the clip of her attacking Lizzo? I am not anybody in his family. I am not going to take somebody going onto his platform and alleging that I either harassed, threatened, or did anything that would put his children at risk. And she's considering defamation litigation. And all of this comes after Crowder has already spatted with Ben, My Dry Wife Shapiro. Because Ben, My Dry Wife Shapiro had offered him a $50 million business partnership, but Crowder turned it down because of a clause in the contract that would have cut his payout if his content was suspended or demonetized on hosting platforms. And he is frequently suspended and demonetized. You know, just like Ben, My Dry Wife Shapiro's close personal friend, Matt Pubic Face Walsh was.
Well, if Candio's looking
God, for I hope a lawyer, it doesn't hurt too little.
Well, if Candio's looking for a lawyer, maybe she can get Jacko Penis when Donnie's done with him.
Apparently she was 8 weeks pregnant, not 8 months.
No, she was 8 months. The photo's there. The
article I have says she was 8 weeks when the recording was made.
Yashar Ali reported her being 8 months. I don't know. I suppose it could be a mistake, but she's, and I'm not body shaming. This is pregnancy. She's huge. She's huge. And I mean, she's at that point where she can rest her hands on top of her tummy like one of those ancient mother goddess figurines from the Neolithic period.
Well, clearly that means she's more than 8 weeks.
Elective surgery, Matt in San Francisco said he went for the Hunter Biden hung special. You have to bring your 12... You have to bring your 12-inch laptop for measurement purposes only. I want to know what the cough syrup is, Matt. Matt has, thank God there's a group text of us gays. Well, I'm grateful, too. But God, these people...
That reminds me of the pummeling schlap man. Any update on him?
No, I haven't seen a litigation update on Matt. Slap I definitely
man,
put
da, 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 schlap.
Matt, Matt, I definitely did not grope that young man's penis through his pants. Schlap.
Pummeling. pummeling all the while.
This being Friday and all, there's so much more. A failed candidate, a Republican failed candidate in Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, has now been reported, according to the Pittsburgh Tribune Review today, stands accused of pulling a gun during an altercation at a Republican committee meeting. Eric Philip Castile started shouting at the Plum Community Center near Pittsburgh. He walked out of the building saying he'd be back, according to the newspaper story. Three others attending the meeting followed Castile outside in an effort to de-escalate the situation and told the police that they saw him put a firearm in his waistband. The real pity of it is that he didn't shoot his tiny todger off. That often happens when gun humpers do things like that. So the three people who followed him out then tried to get back to one of their pick-em-up trucks and said no. Castile then came toward them with the firearm in his hand. And police said Castile then allegedly aimed the gun at one of the people who followed him out from the meeting and said, I'll shoot you. He fled the scene after one of the victims told another to dial 911. The cop showed up at his Valley Fields Drive home, found a gun in the trunk of his son's car with a loaded magazine and a live round in the chamber, hot in the pipe, as the cool kids say. And so now he's facing assault, endangerment, and terroristic threats charges. Because freedom! And at least nobody got shot, but further proof that a lawful gun owner is only a lawful gun owner until they decide not to be. So, yeah. Just another day in Second Amendment Freedom America.
On a similar note, last Saturday, the Ace Hardware store in Vinita, Oregon, which is a town of maybe 2,000 people. My wife and I were sitting there, and we were part of their spring fling sale number where we were making ourselves available to test the gauge on pressure cookers. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, here comes one of these assholes. I first saw he walked by me and he had his jeans tucked to the inside of his cowboy boots. And that always tells me that they're a little bit less than bright. But anyhow, he's walking right behind me and strapped right there on his hip is the open carry revolver. What the fuck do you need a revolver for in a goddamn town of less than 2,000 people where virtually everybody knows everybody? And you're going to the spring fling gardening sale at your local Ace Hardware, and you got to strut around packing heat.
Well, you never know when somebody's going to want that last bag of potting soil, Roger.
Well, they had plenty of potting soil, but he may have been pissed off that the little insulated bags at 50 cents a piece that were made in China were running out. I don't know.
Well, Roger, the Antifa always congregate at the Spring Plain gardening thing event.
I got my first gun when I was 12 years old and had gone through the NRA Hunter Safety Program, and we bought it through a mail order catalog, blah, 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 a single shot 22 rifle. And I'm now 78 years old. So what is that? For 66 years, I've been a gun owner. And never once have I felt the need to pack any kind of a gun when I'm just out around in public. Now, I've shot a lot of gophers. I've shot a couple of deer.
Murderer.
And raccoons and skunks and things of that sort. But I've never had the desire in all my 60-plus years of gun ownership, although I have thought about getting an AR-15 and driving by a trailer house that has Confederate flags out in front of it just to put a few more holes in their wall. But I've never done it, and I don't own an AR-15. But
Roger, just shoot the flag.
I'm not even going to shoot the flag. It's not worth me going to jail or anything else. But
no, it is not.
Damn, why do people think they have to run around being armed?
Well,
they've got to shoot that threatening case of Budweiser across the way. Wasn't that it? The Bud Light or what?
Kid Rock can't do it all alone, right? All by him is lonesome.
They're protecting freedom.
And just to back up for a second, thank you, Ralphs, for the follow-up. Stephen, man of masculinity, Crowder, has now offered his whiny response to the video coming out, and he says he's going to unseal everything in the divorce file. Great, but the article does confirm she was 8 months pregnant with twins. And I love that I chose wrong. In other words,
see, Robin, he thinks he's 100% in the right. He thinks he's 100%.
That narcissists do.
This is how a man's supposed to do. This is how a man's a man.
Well, he's I would like to. Now I've got plenty of time, so I could do it if the data were available to me. But it'll be interesting to look at his background and upbringing and find out the particulars on how he got the way he is. I mean, to one degree, he's hardwired to be that way if he came from that kind of background. But at any moment in time, human beings being free moral agents can make choices that are better choices than the ones they've been making. And apparently this has never occurred to him. I take it he's a religious guy. Doesn't he have a pastor or a bishop or somebody or a deacon or somebody who can set him down and say,
I'm guessing he's one of those Christians who doesn't go to that kind of a church.
Well, that's too bad.
Because there are a lot of those kinds of churches, Scott.
There are. And the thing is, You want to be in a place, if you're surrounded by people, you want them to be supportive in a positive, uplifting, improving your lot in life sort of way. And it doesn't sound like he surrounds himself with those types of people.
I need you to understand, and I'm not saying that you don't. I need you to understand.
Are you saying I'm dumb? A little slow on the uptake? No, I know you're not. Go ahead.
But I do. American conservative Christianity is full of guys like this. The Southern Baptist Church had a huge sexual abuse scandal. But prior to that, had routinely told women to forgive their abusive husbands because that's what Jesus would do. No word on whether Jesus has ever been 8 months pregnant and verbally and emotionally abused and told, I will fuck you up.
We've never really seen what's under Jeebus's gown either. That's still a mystery to be unfolded. Maybe Geraldo will get on that.
God, not Geraldo. But the Southern Baptist Church preaches that women are to submit to their husbands and remain quiet in church and can never be a preacher.
Yeah, but in that same epistle, I believe there are a list of at least a few instructions for the behavior of husbands toward their wives. And I don't remember anything about Jesus or the epistle writer saying, and husbands always take every opportunity to be an asshole. You know, I'm just saying that for those people who proclaim to be such good, moral believers, you know, it's a what was that old bumper sticker? What would Jesus do? WWJD?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's, I mean, I'm no Bible scholar or heavy believer, But God knows, I mean, I don't recall reading that that sort of behavior is what Jesus talked about when he was doing the loaves and fishes trick, or, you know, the parables on the Mount. You know, it's just, maybe I'm expecting too much of people, but I just, it's just.
It sounds like you haven't been in a Christian church in a while, Scott.
Well, and there's probably good reason for that. But the thing is, it makes me sad that people are missing their potential as human beings on the planet. You know, and as far as
We understand. You know, you're a be here now kind of guy.
Well, no, what I was going to say, as far as any of us know, you only go around once. Now, you may get another chance to go around another time as someone or something else in some future incarnation. But for now, we know for sure we've got this go round, and the rest remains to be seen. And it behooves us, especially if we're true believers of the sort that these people claim to be, that they would behave in a manner consistent with the one who came and lived and taught and preached and died and rose again for them. I mean, this is what they say they believe. Let's see some of that in action instead of this nonsense where you're berating your wife for the stupidest of reasons to win an argument or to get somebody to do something that you don't want them, that you don't want to do.
But he is a classic proponent of the so-called masculinity movement. Mike.
And in the video doing his rebuttal, I was just looking at it,
mm-hmm.
Sitting right there, right up front on his desk, is a pistol.
Sure.
Well, there you go.
As Christopher pointed out, he sometimes appears with an AR-15 across his chest.
This is good. I was kidding when I said it before, but this is going to be, you know, this or something like it's going to be on Dateline. You watch.
Well, little Benny Shapiro has proved to everyone that the manliest man of them all has to have the driest wife on the planet.
Well, yeah,
these folks don't let things go.
Yeah, and Shapiro has a voice like a castrato imitating Minnie Mouse, but he's masculine.
Yeah.
I don't think they understand the meaning of the word. But I'm going to take you to the next step here, because it's been a bad week for Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis out in the wide, wide, scary world.
Oh, good!
Mickey Mouse is bending him over big time.
I love it when you give a good report, Robin.
I think this could be
it from Mickey.
From time to time, we have proper German speakers. In the Horn Family Community Congregation. And as Mark Twain pointed out, and I agree, there is nothing quite like a German compound word. Like, for instance, that one that Stephen New York likes to cite all the time, Backpfeifengeschicht, a face in need of slapping. And in considering the current travails of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, I'm wondering if maybe he's been, Haus von Maus gefickt. That's terrible, terrible German, but, you know, fucked by the House of Maus.
Give yourself a really slow llama climbing up the mountain cowbell for that.
Let's see. Haus von Maus gefickt.
That's good.
She may not make it to the top.
Nope.
So he's on a world tour to show his foreign policy bona fides. And again, as noted, it did not go well. First, he was in Japan, where a member of the Japanese press, proving to be far more journalistic than ever so many so-called journalists here, asked him why his poll numbers are plummeting like a paralyzed falcon.
Governor, Paul, show you falling behind Trump. Any thoughts on that?
I'm not a candidate, so we'll see if and when that changes.
Okay, so there's a visual that goes with this. His head is bobbing like a velveteen bulldog on the back, and a bobblehead bulldog on the back of a 1956 Chevy. But the minute I saw that video, I realized where I'd seen that before. We'll back this up just a hair. If you go and you find the video of him in Japan, that deer in the headlights look he gets, and the fact that his head looks like it's about to bounce off of his neck, all the while with his wife Casey at his side, smiling vapidly, remembering those lovely days when they got married at Disney World.
I'm not a candidate, so we'll see if and when that changes.
Okay, does anybody recognize that vocal intonation? I'm not going to do it. I'm not a candidate, so we'll see if that changes. Does anybody... Do I need to play it again?
It sounds like doesn't signify self-assuredness, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like he's not sure of this words coming out of his mouth.
He's absolutely flummoxed to get it. He's getting a tough question. He doesn't get tough questions in Florida. Listen again.
I'm not a candidate, so we'll see if and when that changes.
I'm kind of a student of voices. Let me help. Well, I'm not a candidate, so we'll see if that changes. And his head is bobbing around just like old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, too. The first time I saw it, I went, Jesus Christ, he's been possessed by the shade of Ronald Reagan.
Only thing he didn't say was mommy at the end of the fucking sentence.
Yes, and he didn't say please clap. But I'm waiting for that. That's coming, one of these speeches.
So that was Japan. That was Japan. It gets worse. Because then he showed up in Israel, where he was asked, and this is a legitimate issue, he was asked about his time torturing people, detainees at Gitmo. And this time he didn't go all bobble-headed and googly-eyed. He melted down.
During your time at Guantanamo, did you witness any incidents?
No, not all that's BS. No, totally BS. Yeah.
Did you say you were present during those meetings? Is that
who said that?
Detainees have told us.
How would they know me? Okay, think about that. Do you honestly believe that's credible? So this is 2006. I'm a junior officer. Do you honestly think that they would have remembered me from Adam? Of course not. They're just trying to get into the news because they know people like you will consume it because it fits your preordained narrative
people
that
like
you're
you.
Trying to spin.
You people.
Focus on the facts and stop worrying about narrative.
Please clap. Yeah.
Sounds like he's a bit tetchy. But the funny thing is, you know, he went to law school. He was at Gitmo as a JAG lawyer and oversaw torture, forced feeding. And way, way back when I was a student in law school myself, of course, I didn't go to Harvard. I went to Harvard on the Mon. I had a criminal law professor. And he was trying to elaborate upon the point that in cross-examination, you never ask a question that's either open-ended or to which you do not know the answer. And the story he told to illuminate that point was that of a lawyer cross-examining the victim of a burglary. And the cross-examination went something like this. You've never seen my client before in your life. Is that true? Yes.
you saw my, you claim to have seen my client on the night of the robbery. For what? It wasn't a minute, was it? No. It wasn't even 30 seconds, was it? No. Maybe it was 10 seconds? Maybe. So, sir, how in the world can you claim to positively identify my client? And the victim of the crime said, your client stuck a gun in my face, and his face is forever burned into my memory. Well, the same applies to this question being asked of Monkey Up. Of course those torture victims remember him. You remember the people who tortured you. And you know what? Of all the places to try to make that argument, Israel is probably the wrong place. Because a lot of them have passed on since, but there are still people who saw their death camp guards on a daily basis. And that is how Israel has been able, over the course of a couple of generations, to try to track down every living concentration camp guard they could get their hands on. Because people remember trauma. Trauma implants itself in your brain. Ask any competent counselor or psychiatrist or psychologist, therapist.
Well, you remember it and you experience it on an entirely different level.
Over and over and over again. You see it in your dreams. You see it in your waking hours.
Yeah. And
hey, Robin, go ahead, Scott.
The question on my mind is, and I know he hasn't announced, I don't think he's announced officially.
He hasn't.
For 24, but based on, since we started hearing that he was going to, how is he, he's not really acquitting himself very well as a potential nominee for the Republican Party in 24.
No, he's melting before our very eyes, and the people that it matters most to are the people who jumped on his bandwagon early and are now saying, oh, wait a minute. This guy is just a shitty little prick.
He's flying back to America on the Hindenburg.
One hopes.
Oh,
you want a cigarette, Monkey Up? Lovely view from up here in the Hindenburg, isn't it?
But you triggered something with what you were talking about with the camps and in Israel. So I just finished Man in the High Castle. Great show all the way through. They immediately recommended to me Hunters, which I guess Al Pacino stars in it. And it's along these lines where people travel through time or whatever and hunt down Nazis that are running away. Has anyone watched this show? I know nothing about it at all. And I'm wondering if it's worth pursuing.
I'm not familiar with it, but it's an interesting concept.
Robin, do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm at sea on this one.
Is that also on Amazon?
Yeah, it's got to be. Because it immediately popped right up after I finished Man in the High Castle.
What's it called, Hunters?
Hunters. And Al Pacino, I think, is the star. So, Pacino, you got me at Pacino, right?
Yeah, me too.
I'll at least give it a chance.
Yeah, report back.
Okay, I'll get on it. I'll get on it.
Oh, and I wanted to. I had a note from Micah, and she said, talking about what the pandemic did relative to a lot of people like us. She said, "Same, amazing what being forced to stare at your own navel for a couple of years will do for your own self-realization." Ain't it the truth?
Well, that was in a way that was the upside of the lockdown and the pandemic. Because in our workaday world, people don't always take the opportunity for reflection and introspection and just pausing jumping out of the wheel, the hamster wheel, and just being with themselves and contemplating things. I mean, as much as there was an upside, I guess that is as good as any.
Yeah, and in my case, I just couldn't abide it anymore.
I'd done everything I possibly could to keep it tamped down, keep it hidden. And the idea, you know, just the idea of dying with my dirty little secret. It's awful. Uh-oh, probably upsetting Greg again. I think it's important for people to understand how this happens. You know, there was Marge earlier in the program saying that it happened because kids got on social media and got trans on the Twitter. Doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. Matt tells us a promethazine DM. Sounds like some heavy duty stuff, Matt. I hope you get better quickly.
Well, I'm gonna see. I'm still doing the over the counter stuff, and I'm about ready to go see the doctor and find out what the deal is, because it's not really a cold. It's like head congestion and persistent cough, unless I take, you know, Robitussin DM, which clears up my head and helps with the coughing. And you're not supposed to take that stuff, you know, like more than 4 doses a day or something. And I'm not going above that, but I'll try to go a day without it. And I, you know, the head stuff starts up and the coughing, hacking starts up, and I just don't. I'm ready for that not to be happening anymore. But I don't know about the DeSantis. I just, if that's the best the Republicans do, then Biden's got an easier shot.
Well, there are some interesting people in the race.
What do you think of the Arkansas?
I was about to mention him, Asa Hutchinson.
Asa, yeah, good old Asa.
Asa.
Never liked him.
No. And of course, he came to prominence and became a fixture in Arkansas politics because of his years-long fascination with Bill Clinton's penis.
Well, and also his presence, as if he does announce and become a candidate and actually run and get on the debate stage and the whole nine yards, the Republican voters, he's not who they're looking for.
No,
because he's not even Trump light.
No, that's the thing. He's the one who is, to use
the anti-Trump,
to use an analogy, he's the guy reaching into his suit coat pocket for a cigarette in the bunker.
Well, he also has a face, Stephen York. What, say that German word again? I can't.
Oh, Backpfeifengeschicht.
Yeah.
What does that mean again?
I'll just say
face in need of slapping.
Oh, okay.
I'll just say Farfignugan and call it a day.
It's not that difficult, Christopher. Bach, Pfeifen, Geschicht.
You know, one of those countries, I don't think it's Germany, but I think it's like one of the Scandinavian-type countries, Norway or Scandinavia, one of them. They have face-slapping contests. There's video of it on YouTube.
Ooh.
These big dudes get and sit in front of each other, and they take turns slapping one another. And now it's not.
They probably start out by eating their Strömming.
That was bad. Who?
No.
Maybe that'll be the first Republican debate.
I don't know what it is, but from the word itself, it sounds rather.
It smelly. Is the most awful, canned, preserved, fermented fish ever to enter the mind of humanity. Our buddy Scott in Scott in Sweden, different Scott.
Cats come running.
Sent me a can of it once, and the instructions said, "Do not open this in your home."
Oh my God!
Take the can opener outside, way far away from the house, somewhere down on the far end of the acre, and open it there. And I swore to him that if he said it, we would taste it. And we did. You've probably heard of the Norwegian lutefisk, which is cod preserved in lye.
Oh, yes, yes, okay, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this made lutefisk, taste like cheesecake.
Oh, my God.
And the can ended up not in the next county, but in the next state, I presume.
Oh, Jesus, I had to have it hauled away in a nuclear waste barrel, Roger.
The hazardous waste people have to
have we ever talked about balut on this program?
We have, because okay. John Britovo has brought it up.
Okay. Never mind.
And I guess with a little bit of time remaining in the program, I should note that thanks again to everybody who met the challenges. We are $355 away from a community-made miracle. And so that's $55 remain of yesterday and $300 for today. If we could possibly enter May with a clean slate, it would be fan-freaking-tastic. That being said, and having mentioned Israel's propensity for hunting Nazis, well, here's a Nazi. This Nazi's name, and he's not being hunted by Israel, he was hunted by Poland. Robert Wilson of California, who had fled to Poland to try to keep from facing hate crime charges in, thought of you, Scott, San Diego. Hi, Tamara. Hi, Vernon. So he's apparently a fairly well-known neo-Nazi in California. He fled to Poland. He got arrested in Poland this week because he did it. You know, neo-Nazis, fascists are stupid. And in this case, his stupidity took the form of taking a projector and projecting projecting anti-Semitic language on Anne Frank's house in Amsterdam. No shit.
Mm. I've seen that, by the way. I've been there.
I've heard it's just moving.
Yes.
So Tuesday morning, the Polish police showed up. And he took video of them walking up to his house. In the video, he says to one of the officers, "I don't do anything illegal. My lawyer told me not to open." They said, "We don't care. You're under arrest." And this was all reported in the Times of San Diego. I hope Polish prisons are not nice.
I don't think so.
I'll have to read up on that.
And I hope he gets to stay there for a very long time.
I don't think you get treated to handmade pierogies like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
You had to bring up pierogies, didn't you?
Well, yeah, of course.
Now,
Scott, what are you doing down there harboring Nazis in San Diego? What are you doing?
Oh, I think he was in his professional life years ago was a TV repairman, and I can't think of his name. But he was in North San Diego, and he was one of the big Nazis. You know, even before I got here 20 years ago. I can't think of his name. I don't know whether he's upright, above ground, or what the deal is. But yeah, we do have our share of crazies out here. I mean,
well, make sure Shamu keeps good guard over them, okay?
Who's Shamu? The whale?
The whale.
Whale, San Diego whale?
I've never.
No, that was ShamWow.
ShamWow.
No, you're thinking of the infomercial.
Was that the original pillow guy?
He's dead.
Was he the guy that went to jail?
The ShamWow guy died?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Cocaine.
What was his name?
Oh.
Well, he had black hair. I can't think of his name right now, but he's been dead for like 10 years. His partner
was
still alive.
The pre-pillow man.
Yes.
I'm so thrilled. We have a miracle. We are fully funded for the month of April. I didn't think.
Hooray. It was possible. I always said $10. I didn't do it.
Jeremy, you helped.
You and Cat in Ohio. I'm beside myself with relief. I get to pay a bill that I've been desperately wanting to pay this evening. And I cannot thank all of you enough.
Congrats, Robin.
I'm late to the show, but I want to talk about everyone's favorite topic for 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Cue up the music. Oh, shit.
No, Jeremy. It's fine.
Not that.
I don't have to play the theme from A Summer Place, do I?
No, it's not that topic. It's the one that...
Billy Mays. Oh, okay. Micah tells us Billy Mays.
No, it's the topic that pertains to you and I personally. Not that other topic. That's completely different. We're done with that from after the freaking note you got. What it is irony in them all saying on the Neo side that we're here to protect the kids is about the kids. Kids generally know who they are long before they tell the world.
Yeah.
I think you can all attest to that. You know who you are. The confusion doesn't come in hearing, oh, there's different types of people. The confusion comes in trying to force yourself to conform to what they want you to be.
Bingo.
Being worried what the world will think of you if you don't wear this, do this, say this, do that right. Look at everyone up the same way. That's where the confusion is. We all know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And someone argued with me this week, and I found it disturbing. It might be true, but I think it was just a muckraker. But they asked, why is there an LGBTQ? Mostly the lesbian gays hate being grouped with you guys.
Well, those are the TERFs, right?
Well, you know, over on Turf Island, there is a movement to take the T out of, and the Q, out of that arrangement. One of the major TERF movements on Turf Island is the LGB movement.
I will say this: if these people are stupid enough to do that. What's the famous saying? Was it, we'll either stick together or we'll hang together?
We shall all hang, if we do not hang together, we shall all hang separately. Which reminds me, I had a note from our pal Claire across the pond, and, she offered up something based on what Greg said earlier. I have to find it here. There. Subject to Greg. And after they come for all of those marginalized people and all those people on the periphery that people spend so much time hating on others because, well, I don't know why they do that. Maybe they're just sad or something. Is it perhaps they stand too close to the fence, maybe? But after they come for all those marginalized groups, they come for the Gregs.
Yeah, marriage equality is not set in stone, not in a heartbeat. And if there's an internal inner war between the homosexual community and the trans community and the queer community, and you're all fighting together, the crystal fascists will get that eliminated very quickly. Marriage equality will be gone.
Well, they already want marriage equality gone. I mean, remember, Fappy Thomas said in his concurrence in Dobbs, bring me a case with which I can overturn Obergefell. Bring me a case with which I can overturn Bostock. Bring me a case with which I can overturn Lawrence.
The only one is the one where he can...
The only thing he didn't ask for was a case so that he could overturn Loving versus Virginia.
His white Nazi wife.
Ginsurrectionist. But, no, you're absolutely right, Jeremy. You knew, I knew. And really, it's not that surprising. People...
It's not just us.
No.
Most kids know, regardless if you're straight or not, you know who you are.
Yeah, kids know early on.
I know they'll come for me after they take care of you. And they take care of everybody. I'm on the list too. Fuck yeah. We're all
I love
on the
how
list.
They try to coddle kids and say they can't understand these conflict talks. The fuck they can. They can understand everything you For Christ's sake, you throw a newborn baby in the water, it can fucking swim. Kids are smarter than you give them credit for, or at least the right wing does. Way smarter.
Yeah. Able to comprehend way.
A lot more topics based on life and just what they've been through than people want to give them credit for, and it's pathetic.
Well, Jeremy, they've been parented like shit because they ended up being conservatives, okay? So whoever parented them did a shitty job. And now they're passing along their shitty job, the shitty job they got done onto them, onto the next generation.
You know, Micah says, truth, all I ever wanted to be was normal, and I couldn't ever understand why I so utterly failed at it always. And yet now she's normal. I know that feeling. Day in and day out living with internal conflict. Your mind literally at war with itself. It's not mental illness. It's like having a really nasty stone in your shoe. You know, at first when you pick up the stone, maybe it goes down to the toe and it's not touching your foot. But the more you walk, it finds its way, you know, maybe to the tough part of the ball of your foot, back behind your big toe. And it's like, oh, that sucks. Yeah, that sucks. But eventually, that's the thing, eventually it'll work back to the tender spot in the arch, and then it feels like a knife.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been one of the painful things is that, you know, finally enjoy my life. I finally love it. I want to live forever. Ain't gonna. But it's just so nice to feel things that people have felt every day of their lives. They never hadn't had. I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't think about it anymore. I mean, there are still some things that I would like to see happen and are, and it requires a lot of patience. There's a huge learning curve, but it's so worth it. So worth it. By the way, Christopher Billable Rick says you should definitely watch Hunters. It's a bit gory, but very entertaining. I watched all the episodes with my son.
Oh, pardon? Good. Good. Thanks, Bilbo.
And
I love gore. Big fan.
Yay! And I, by the way, I got a note going back to Scandinavian preserved fish.
Oh, no.
From Jessica up in Minnesota. Lutefisk. Yes, this Scandinavian Valkyrie eats it. Tip, if you want to avoid the stereotypical gelatinous texture, gelatinous fish. My father taught me how to bake it. You place it in an oven. Now, you have to soak it to get the lye out of it first. That's important. Place it in an oven-safe Pyrex or ceramic dish, add a cup or two of water, and cover with aluminum foil. Poke a few vent holes and bake for about a half an hour. It comes out firm, flaky, and quite palatable. It's cod. Cod is good. And by the way, I should mention, Jessica adds, the live fish should be baked at 350. And I promise you, Zerstroming, there's no saving it. You eat it straight out of the can. It's god-awful. I mean, I checked in not long back because, you know, Christopher, Jeremy, every now and then you ask me to check in and see how the Pineapple Prince is doing. It wasn't long back that my contacts in the great beyond down in Perdition did in fact let me know that now at pineapple time, at the same time that the pineapple is happening, they open a can of Zerstroming in front of Rush and feed him Zerstroming at the same time that the pineapple is happening.
Would that be sweet and sour? I don't know. Is it sour? I don't know what that strooping tastes like. I don't know.
it's so awful. By the way, barricades, Matt says, when they put up the barricades, put me with the drag queens and trans folks. Some of us have some unresolved issues, and sometimes letting that anger out can be really cathartic. Throw a brick at me, and I'll make a kiddie shoe the perfect tip, the perfect size of your butthole. Trans folks make really good decisions. They have to make all kinds of decisions on how they move through the world without getting killed. That's a plus at the barricades. Oh, and we look pretty good holding up clever signs. Yes. Oh, and by the way, at the University of Edinburgh Union, they were going to screen a deeply transphobic film made by some deeply transphobic people called Adult Human Female, because that's their rallying cry on Turf Island. Adult Human Female. That's their answer to what is a woman. Adult Human Female. So the trans folks showed up there at the University of Edinburgh. And they kept the film from screening. And Matt just reminded me of this with we look pretty good holding up clever signs. They brought clever signs, but more than that, they formed a massive conga line and danced to Lady Gaga's Born This Way and kept the TERFs from being able to watch their ugly little TERF movie. And of course, the TERFs were terribly, terribly butthurt. You're destroying women's spaces! So, ladies, I suppose it'll be okay by you if, say, the Royal and Ancient at St. Andrews resegregates its men's grill at the golf course, right? That's a men's only space.
I'm still getting joy out of the trans people who beat the shit out of the Proud Boys in New York City a couple of weeks ago. And that one guy was bloodied by a high heel. He's like, I'm here to help. Like a little bitch if they kicked his ass.
And yeah. since
and hey, Jeremy, I want you know who deserves a medal? Is the whistler that every time a Nazi rally shows up in New York, he's always there with his whistle and is blowing the whistle with Matt Gaetz is talking or any of the Boobert or whoever. And he's got that constant whistle. It's the best. I want to meet that person.
Well, I have one last bit of humor to wrap up the week, this miraculous Friday. Thank you again, everybody. Nitwit Nero, we had a clip the other night of him talking about how electric vehicle batteries kick up clouds of dirt. Well, there is more stupid. And this is a real doozy. It's, well, just play the clip and then we'll have some fun, okay? Stand by.
Which I will. Remember? Speaking of which, we're leading Biden by 7 points in Rasmussen poll. We're leading him by 7 points in the Harvard poll, Harvard-Harris, and by 11 points in another poll. And by the way, the same people that said the same thing in 2016, well, maybe he'll win here, but he's not going to win in the general election. They love that. That's the only narrative they have left. But we're winning against everybody, and we're doing just as well in the general election. But it was the same people. I went in and I said, boy, I get killed in this. They say, he's not going to win in the election. And then I won. And then I won a second time by far more votes, but it was a rigged election. So, you know, what are you going to do? And that's the thing I asked Steve and all the people up here, because these are incredible people. I don't even care if you help me campaign. You don't have to help me. What I want you to do is help me on election evening, which is no longer election evening. It's election period. Because these people have like a month and 2 months to look around and play around with the votes. How people let this happen. We got to go to all paper ballots, voter ID, same day voting, one day.
Gun registration only.
Let's remember that the reason he lost in 2020 was because he discouraged people from voting by mail or early voting.
You can only vote on election day, same day voting. It's the only way that there's voting.
Well, the bottom line, he lost by, what, 7 million votes?
Yeah, 7 million votes.
Well, let's be careful. That's popular. He lost by about 33,000 where it mattered.
Yeah, I know, but...
He lost by less than Hillary lost.
So if he becomes the nominee in 24, which I still say is not going to happen, but if I'm wrong...
Really?
And he does become the nominee in 24 for that party... Do you think he'll win?
No,
I don't either. Think he will. No.
I think most of America is sick of it. The people who crossed over, remember those unicorn voters, the people who voted for Obama and then voted for Trump? Kept looking for one.
Sadly, yes, I do remember that crew.
I kept looking for one. Actually, I can think of one or two, and they went full maggot and whatever. But normal people, you know, the people who don't pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, are over him. They saw him attempt to govern and saw what a nightmare it was.
Well, and the people who did vote for Obama, a lot of those people voted for Jill Stein, which was just as bad.
Yeah, Jill effing Stein. You have to say Jill fucking Stein.
And his last name is Kennedy. And we got the new Jill Stein.
But we'll be done with him in the primary.
Because he's running as a Democrat. What if he goes independent?
He can't do that after he runs in the Democratic primary.
Well, Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Scott.
Well, speaking of RFK Jr., what impact will the trouble that he has with his speaking voice play should he become a candidate? I've seen a lot of people run, and some people are good speakers and some people are bad speakers. Some people are talking sense and others are not talking sense. But he's got a physical malady, which no matter what he's saying, he's not going to be able to speak effectively. I mean,
Marge Simpson. We'd have to President Marge Simpson. I mean, that's what we're going to have if he wins.
President Robin.
Oh, there's a cell phone right there, Robin. I ain't going to say a fucking word.
But I'm serious. It's like one of the big things about trying to get that job is the ability to communicate with people who vote.
Sure.
And get you that job.
But you got to remember, he worked for years on Ring of Fire.
Yes. I listen to him every fucking week. Yes. A lot of great spots and wonderful in-depth, taking the corporate titans outside behind the woodshed. It was fantastic. He did a lot of good work.
And it was all a bit. It was all shtick.
No.
You told me about what he did in West Virginia when he came down there.
Yeah.
Ran off with the check, right?
Well, he came down here to make a movie out of his book. Used a bunch of us as extras. And blathered on about a wind project on Coal River Mountain. And then once the film premiered, we never saw him again.
That's so sad.
And I would say...
Because there's that passage in the trailer for The Last Mountain where he says, well, we've come down here to West Virginia to see if we can't get a wind farm on that mountain. Piffle. There's another passage in the film where he says, I went and I talked to Barack Obama and I told him we got to do something about mountaintop removal. Bullshit. Complete, utter, total bullshit.
He's no better than Donald Trump.
Your side-by-side comparison between RFK Jr. and the original Robert F. Kennedy, when Bobby Kennedy went to Appalachia, the people knew who he was, what he stood for, and what he would do.
And that he was genuine.
He was real. He was authentic. Yeah. and he had their interests at heart. You can't say that by any stretch of the imagination about RFK Jr.
No, not at all. Okay, I want to get back. We have not gotten to the fun part of the Nitwit Nero clip.
Oh, there's a fun part?
Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh dear.
So we're talking about
we have to have
paper ballots, same day voting, only day voting,
which is going to lead to the question of counting.
Some of these guys, the votes aren't final until 2 weeks after the election. You say, how do you tabulate the result? What do everybody wait? The nation waits. It's a disgrace what's happened. And I ask the people on stage, and we have a lot of people in the audience that are great politicians and very important for your state, to, I don't want help. I don't even want help with the vote.
You need
I just
help.
Want help on making sure the vote is cast and counted fairly.
Here it comes.
You know, Lenin.
Lenin.
Lenin. Did anyone ever hear of Lenin? He said, the vote counter is far more important than the candidate. Has anyone ever heard that? That's Lenin. Lenin, as they say in Russia. But no, the vote counter is far more important. It's very sad. We did so unbelievable. We got more votes than any sitting president by far. We got millions of more votes than Barack Hussein Obama. I was told if we got the same number, we can't lose. We got millions more, millions and millions more. And well, we thought we won until about 10:15 in the evening. Then all of a sudden we said, what's going on here? Now we got a straight.
The funny thing is, this is running on Newsmuck, and so he's Lenin, Lenoon, Le Midday, Le Evening, Lenin. But this is running on Newsmuck, so even as their orange god emperor is prattling, he goes split screen and an ad comes on.
Own physical gold, free gold coin on qualifying orders for offer details, text Trump
to a number from
American Hartford Gold.
They're running spots during a campaign appearance?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a Trump spot. It's a hustle. It's a grift. This isn't a presidential campaign so much as it is a carnival sideshow.
What was the outlet, Newsmax?
Yeah.
There's your nickel and dime operation right there. Jesus. Buy gold now. Jesus.
Well, the funny thing, though, is that he said Lenin, he did it back at a rally for Dr. Oz in September. And he says Lenin instead of Lenin because he thinks it sounds fancy.
Leonard.
But the hilarious thing is that in September, he said,
did you ever hear the statement by, I believe it was Lenin? Did anyone ever hear of Lenin? People would say it with less sophistication, Lenin. Lenin, I like the way they say that.
Who says that? The maggot?
Who knows?
That's how you pronounce but it.
But the funny thing is, Philip Bump over at the Washington Post went and found a clip of Vladdy Daddy in which he mentioned V.I. Lenin. And Vlad, you know, Trump's owner, pronounces it Lenin. Lenin. And it's actually more like a Lenin. Like saying L and Y at the same time.
I wonder when and if his time comes, whether they're going to do him up, if he's left instructions to be done up, to be made a human candle in the crystal casket like Lenin is.
Oh, I'm sure he wants one. And then just
Chairman Mao that's done up like a.
No, Lenin's in a crystal casket too.
My God, with a little wick.
And so was Stalin, but they took Stalin out of his box.
Yes.
So one last thing, and this is not funny. This is pathetic. This goes to what Jeremy was talking about. There is a member of the Montana legislature. Her name is Carrie Seekins Crow. She was a sponsor of the gender-affirming care ban in Montana. She's the kind of person that that Zoe Zephyr was talking about when she said, you will have blood on your hands. Well, the woman admitted to being okay with that. But somehow, Zoe Zephyr, well, Zoe was the one who broke decorum. There was a clip over on Twitter. I'm not going to bother with it. She said, one of the big issues that we've heard today and we've talked about lately is that without surgery, the risk of suicide goes way up. That's a lie. Without gender-affirming care, the risk of suicide goes up. Kids can't have surgery. One of the big... So she continued, well, I am one of those parents who lived with a daughter who was suicidal for 3 years. Someone once asked me, wouldn't I just do anything to help save her? And I really had to think, and the answer was no. No. And she said that kids who have suicidal ideation are engaging in emotional manipulation. Then she said, I was not going to let her tear apart my family, and I was not going to let her tear apart me, because I had to be strong for her. I had to have a vision for her life when she had none. She literally said that she would rather her child died than to live authentically. And she claims that, yep. And she claims that her child is cured. No, she isn't.
That sounds exactly like one of the aunties out of Handmaid's Tale. That's exactly something they would say.
And remember, Matt, Pubic Face Walsh, that dude has said that he would rather die than have a trans child. I can't imagine that there are that many people in America who would actually agree with a position like that. Do you?
There's a segment, and it's, I guess the great debate is how. What's the percentage? I mean, this is the great debate we had leading up to 2016 as far as the deplorables. Was it 16%? I mean, we found out it was more like 33%.
But right? we kind of found that out after the 2022 elections.
Yeah.
Because something like 5% of voters said that that issue mattered to them at all.
Right. Abortion is huge, and it will remain huge.
Yeah, and get this. This was something that happened today. Abortion bans failed in two maggot states today. Nebraska and South Carolina. In South Carolina, it failed because Republican maggot women stood up and said, oh, hell no, because they were following the lead of a maggot member of Congress named Nancy Mace, who has consistently said that these abortion bans are inhumane and anti-woman, which they are.
And some of the stories are heart-wrenching that these women have to go through.
Yes.
Randy Rhodes, she's got one every day. Every day.
But here is, this is the part of the story that really gives me joy. In Nebraska, it failed because of a filibuster. That filibuster was brought by the woman who, in the unicameral legislature, said nothing is going to happen in this session if you try to pass this trans medical ban. I will filibuster every damn thing. Every damn thing. And she did. It failed by one vote in South Carolina, and it just died in Nebraska. And yet the maggots still will not learn. That's how we know how stupid they are. Because it's the raw meat that they feed their base. And it's, in a way, it's an answer to a question that I posed for years, or actually an assertion. I said, the one group above all who does not want to see Roe overturned is the fetus fetish industry. Because then they have the problem of how they get their base motivated to come creeping and crawling out from behind the baseboards and go to the polls.
It's the dog that caught the car, right?
Yeah. And so here we are. It failed in Kansas. It's failed in Nebraska. It's failed in South Carolina. And they refuse to learn. Because it's an issue that motivates their rabid, frothing-at-the-mouth base. But it does not resonate with ordinary human beings.
Not soccer moms.
No.
Not suburban soccer moms.
And the number of people who have had abortions is a hell of a lot higher than maggots want to dream. I heard an interview with Terry Gross yesterday on Fresh Air. She was talking with a woman who works at an abortion clinic, a reproductive health clinic in New York, and they got around to talking about the fact that fetus fetish, self-hating women will show up at the clinic where she works seeking an abortion. And they will say to her things like, well, this is necessary for me. But yeah. I don't know how someone like you can sit here and do this every day of your life. It must feel awful. And they talked a little bit about the fact that it really makes her guest, she said it's really hard. And I would find it impossible. I said, get out. You can't have one. You go carry that baby to term. But she's a better human being than the maggot who's sitting there wanting an abortion. Which is further proof of another thing that we have said, lo, yea, verily, forever and anon. Abortion bans do not harm reasonably well-off middle-class white women. Because they just go somewhere else and get the abortion.
They can make a long weekend of it.
It harms poor people.
They can fly to New York.
Have a little shopping trip.
Absolutely. Catch a show, get some pizza, and take care of the fetus.
Yeah, go to Essa Bagel for a bagel in the morning.
On a long weekend. Yeah. Deli. Yep. Get your Yankee game, Mets. Whatever. Be nice to afford that.
On the other hand, a poor woman can't do that. And, nope. You know, everything is, sooner or later, everything is right-wing politics, right-wing economics. Because you want to force those poor babies to be born, because they can then be worked to death for the entirety of their lives. There you have it, in a nutshell. Y'all, I got to get out of here.
Just to piggyback on that, I think Hartman was talking about the history of that, going back to like the 1500s, maybe 1600s, where that was a thing. The Catholic Church before that didn't give a fuck about abortion, but then they realized, oh, we've got a labor shortage. We got to force people to have babies. And that's when...
Basically, the depopulation brought about by the plague made labor more valuable. Peasants were no longer tied to the land. It helped to create the burgeoning merchant middle class, which then gave birth to the Renaissance. Uh-huh. And along the way, the Roman Catholic Church fought it tooth and toenail because they were trying to fuck their way back into feudalism. I mean, that's what they wanted.
Yeah. Well, that's what this pastel full of folks want to institute here in America. Feudalism.
Of course.
That's what they want.
Of course.
That's the end game.
Well, like I said, I have to get out of here, not because I'm no longer enjoying the conversation, and no, I have to get out of here because the now nearly ancient, because it's 3.5 years old, iPad, I started out at 100% when the call started. In the course of 2.5 hours, and it didn't used to be this way, in the course of 2.5 hours, it's gone from 100% to 14%. So if I stay connected for much longer, it's all gonna fall apart. So I got to get out of here. Y'all, it's been a great conversation. What?
Get a new battery put in it.
I'll add that to the list. It's not like there's an Apple store here. And I don't necessarily trust just any old jackleg to crack the back of this thing open. Because it's not exactly user serviceable. So, well, I'll try to make it work. But thanks, everybody. Thanks for the great conversation. Thanks to all the a la carte contributors who jumped in to create a, no kidding, Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle. We have finished April fully funded. And it does. It feels like a miracle that y'all made yourselves. Thank you. Sorry about the fundraising. I don't know any other way. Sorry, Greg. But that's it. And I'm disconnecting now. And plugging the iPad back up so Annette and I can have movie night. Looks like a fun little film over on Apple TV called Ghosted. I think we're going to give that a try this evening. But thanks to all of you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I screwed up. Because it wasn't the 30th or the 31st, I neglected to read the PayPal, Patreon subscribers today. I will do that on Monday the 1st. And one last thing on the way out, a lovely note from our pal Jessica up in Minnesota. A bit of melancholy to share with the Horn Family congregation. Listening to the April 7th podcast and the assembled members in the Old Holler Tree, sublet from the Keebler Elves, and yourself discussing your little road trip to a potential road trip to California, discussion really hits close to home for me, Robin. I frequently talked about my beautiful little Liverpool Docker girl. Yes, Sadie was built at the British Leyland Assembly Plant at Speke, and not Birmingham. But I don't know if I've ever mentioned my reason for adopting her. She's a TR7. While you lust after my triumph, I wanted a 1962 Chevrolet Impala, a four-door sedan with a three-speed manual column shift and inline-six engine and resplendent in twilight turquoise paint. Oddly specific, but my paternal grandfather bought that exact car, and my father bought it from him in 1969 when he began his teaching career. Old Blue was supposed to be my first car when I was old enough to drive, except that 20-plus years of Minnesota winters took their toll, and it was sold to a family friend in 1989. And I told myself that one day I would have another 62 as my classic car to drive and tinker with. In 1990, and incidentally, I get all misty over a turquoise-colored Chrysler Newport Town sedan. That's the first car I remember. In 1994, at age 17, I consciously remember hearing Get Your Kicks on Route 66. That inspired me to want to take that California trip down the Mother Road. I dreamed about that trip, Robin. It literally helped save my life in late December 2008 to early March 2009. As I sat in my chair on the 10th floor of the Mayo Clinic's Gonda building while an electric pump injected chemotherapy meds into my body, I would close my eyes and daydream about cruising down two-lane blacktop in that Impala. And I promised myself that if I survived my bout with cancer and if circumstances allowed, I was going to get that car and take that road trip. Unfortunately, working part-time minimum wage didn't allow for the purchase of the Impala. 5 years later, cancer reared its ugly head again, with greater ferocity than the first encounter. This time it was an aggressive form that would spread rapidly and be immune to chemotherapy and radiation if it wasn't contained within the affected lymph nodes. 48 suspicious nodes were removed, 5 were malignant, the cancer was encapsulated. I won. I was victorious. I triumphed. And I'd been offered this little wedge-shaped go-kart a short while before my diagnosis. So I bought her, with the intent of restoring her and taking my victory lap the 2,200 miles from Grant Park in Chicago westward to the pier at Santa Monica. And I held on to that dream, Robin. Until things started going sideways and the trans hate intensified, one of my trans friends posted a map of the U.S. that showed the states where it was safe to be a trans person. Guess which states were omitted? Except for California and Illinois, none of the states where Route 66 exists were indicated as being tolerant of us. That was not an easy image to view, Robin. It meant the death of a dream, a box on my bucket list that will forever remain empty. No, Robin, even if things reverse and sanity returns, I don't think I'm ever going to step foot into any of those states. I refuse to contribute to the government coffers or economy thereof, my only caveat being in dealing with model railroading manufacturers and hobby shops online. The pittance earned from those transactions won't have as much of an impact as the gas, food, lodging, tourism, and incidentals of a road trip. To say this disappoints me greatly would be gross understatement. I even contemplated selling my TR7. But I had to remind myself that my area in southeast Minnesota has wonderful, twisty, narrow roads and steep grades that one can find in Europe and especially the UK, so I can have a blast zooming around the numerous rural back roads. So you're not alone in having reservations about driving through various parts of the country, Robin. Hell, I'm wary of venturing into Iowa this summer to attend Pride events, if that's any indication of how paranoid I am about the current climate. And I've said it before, never, never in my 46 years plus of life did I ever imagine that I would have trepidation about traveling in my own country. But here we are, and it's an uncomfortable reality we have to live. And I know there are members of the audience who are on their umpteen thousandth rotation of their eyes or have tuned out because we're talking about trans shit, but I just wanted to reemphasize how all this bullshit affects us on a number of levels. Anyway, I've rambled on long enough. I will yield the floor back to the lovely lady from Alabama, currently West Virginia, and return the broadcast to its regularly scheduled Phil Robster. And allow me to kick in $15 for my use of airtime, Jessica, in the greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. That's beautiful, Jessica. And it is comprised of no small amount of pathos. And I thank you for it. I'm not giving up on driving across country. But some other things will have to happen first. Thank you. And thanks to all our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you, Jessica. And thank you to our a la carte contributors for the miracle, the miracle. And thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you, Sparky and Roger. And Steve, if you're around. Soup. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe, y'all. I kind of dropped the ball on that this evening. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, share, tell your friends and neighbors. Like the heart button on TuneIn Radio if you listen there. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Check out the regulations for people with higher risk, comorbidities, and age above 65. You might want to think about getting another booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. They are a filthy lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Or European-style messenger bag. Maintain your social distance of some degree or another, depending on the circumstances. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes burbling towards you, talking about, I'm a biological mother. Well, avoid Marge letter to Donnie Green like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.